The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice, you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box with Juan, John, and Gabe.
Hey everybody, welcome to our best of 2015 episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
I'm John.
And we have our special guest with us.
Matt.
Hi, Matt.
How are you? Matt.
Matt's really flat.
I'm not excited to be here. Fuck you, faggots.
I didn't like anything in 2015.
You guys made me watch Prometheus like six times.
I wrote a paper on it.
Oh, man. So, like last year, we're going to do the top five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah!
Special guest Finn with his fart gun.
Sorry.
We're going to do our top five movies, our top five TV shows, our top five comic books. Duh.
Oh, wait. We're doing five? I thought it was just the best of.
No, the best five. Of.
Oh, shit. No. Yeah,
no, best of.
Oh, well, I did five.
Well, there's five questions.
I'm an overachiever.
I was fine. Like, I don't fucking have five things written down. I'm screwed.
Well, I do, so everybody gets to listen to me talk like five times.
Extra.
Yay.
Like normal. Yay.
Gabe is saying eat a dick. Well, he's not saying eat a dick.
Wow.
Right.
I am saying
so much anger.
Anyway, so
from this young Padawan.
So, what are we starting with, Juan?
Whatever you want to start with. Do we want to
jump right in? Are we going to talk about Star Wars?
Do we want to talk about Star Wars? I mean, we've all seen Star Wars.
Okay, so.
How long do we want to give ourselves?
Well, so here's the thing.
Seven hours. For episode seven, it's fitting, right?
Hey, that's true. Oh. 7 minutes.
Why don't you see in heaven. Where we're at there?
We're at 2 minutes so far.
Okay, so now...
Hey, everybody. Gabe from Thinking Outside the Long Box. Quick warning, we're about to talk about Star Wars, full of spoilers, you know, like almost a month after the fact, but still full of spoilers for about 45 minutes. You're going to want to fast forward the show to about minute 55 if you don't want to know all of the horrible things, like about how Leia is constantly taking her shirt off, which is terrifying because she's way older, or that scene where Han and Chewie make out with each other. If you don't want to hear those spoilers.
Kylo takes off his mask and it's Jar Jar.
So if you don't want to hear the spoilers, go ahead and fast forward. We'll talk to you soon.
Star Wars, go.
Go.
Just go.
Might as
just
well.
Just go.
Okay, so all four of us saw Star Wars. Spoiler alert, it's fucking awesome.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, so here's my intro question to the Star Wars conversation. Like, there's seven movies.
Right.
Total out now. Which place is it? Like, from one to seven... Is it number one? Is it number two for you?
Sure.
Like, which one is it?
Everybody's looking at me.
Go ahead, John. Go ahead.
So for me, it's got to be 4, 5, and 6 are 1, 2, and 3 for me. So I think it would be 4th.
Okay.
As far as best Star Wars.
Best
I mean,
Star Wars
I just, I can't put it ahead of those because those came first and those are what I grew up on. And so I have very sentimental value tied into those movies.
Right.
And so it's, you know, that so it would be after those three for me.
Juan, your turn.
I said number two. I really think that it's I don't think that they'll make a movie that's better than Empire personally. And I didn't grow up, it started in the late 70s, so obviously I wasn't around at that point.
Sure.
But I think Star Wars stuff was still... Yeah, I wasn't even sperm.
Your daddy's like, coin purse.
My daddy's coin purse?
Yeah,
maybe.
Ball bag.
It's a ball bag.
Oh, okay. But I didn't grow up with the kind of sentimental values that you have with it
sure.
or for it.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it was just... I didn't really even watch the movies until I was already older anyways because of that. Because they were out, you know, 20 years or whatever, or 10 years before I was born.
Sure.
They're all really good. And I didn't watch 2 and 3. I still haven't
prequels.
Watched 2 and 3. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't. I heard they're better than 1, but I haven't watched 2 and 3. But they're I went
it's just
I went into
grumbling.
I went into 1 hoping that it would be exactly what 7 is.
Ah.
And It just it blew sure the wasn't. Shit out no. of all of those.
No way.
So I think it's number two. I think it's number two on my list.
All right.
Where's it on your list, Matt?
So I can't. I don't want to put it like below 4, 5, and 6. I want to put it in there.
In there
with 4, 5, and 6.
Sure.
But if forced to make a choice, it would be Empire's my favorite. But okay. So I would say 5, 4, 6, 7. If I had to put it numerically in some kind sure. of order to categorize it, I loved it. I loved it, and I'm sure we'll get into more about it.
Yes.
I'm right with one. Empire's my favorite.
Yeah.
This one's my second favorite one. Okay. Like, I mean, and just, I'm with you. Like, I grew up with it. So, right. like, they're the Holy Trinity.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly.
I mean, they're almost like one giant movie.
Right.
But, like, if I have to break it down, Empire's better than Return and New Hope. And this one, I feel, is better than both of those two, just, like, in its execution and, like, the way it's done.
Sure.
Even though, in, like, some ways, it's kind of a remake of A New Hope.
Right.
But, it really is. But it's, man, is it good.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Okay, so let's talk about what moment of Star Wars did you feel the most like a child watching? Like, for me, when the stormtroopers, the First Order, attack that village.
Yeah.
And then the Resistance comes in on the X-Wings,
yes.
like, over the lake.
Yes.
I literally squealed and clapped. Like, I mean, I couldn't help it. I'm just like, yay!
Han and Chewie and everybody was in cuffs, you know. And oh, it was yeah. like, oh, what's going to happen now? And then here comes the cavalry to save the day.
What was the most child moment for you guys?
I think for me, it was the very first line of dialogue.
Yeah.
Because it was, for me, it was, you know, how is this going to be? How, you know, I was clenched. I was worried. You know, you were halfway worried until he looks at Kylo right in the face and he goes, "Are you supposed to talk or am I supposed to talk?" It just kind of broke the fucking ice. And it just, it
some
was
people
like, okay,
had a hard time with
good.
All the humor that was in the movie.
I loved
so
it.
So much humor in the yeah. original movies, too. Like, I loved Han. I got a bad feeling about this.
Right.
So I have a question that probably is for you, because you're a little bit more of a Star Wars nerd than I am. The monsters that he has in his ship.
Right.
Are those the same kind of thing that are in the trash compactor in A New
Hope? No. The trash compactor monsters are called Dianogas.
Okay.
I don't know what the things that he was carrying around in the.
He said it, but it's not
a Dianoga.
Because that would have been awesome.
Yeah, that would have been.
I love that they throw Captain Phasma in the trash compactor.
But did you ever see her go
no,
in there?
Yeah. No.
I don't think
she died by any means. I think she's...
I love that.
They've confirmed that she's coming back.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you guys have a garbage chute to a trash compactor?
My kid moment was when Rey and Finn were piloting the Falcon through, like, the busted up Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
I was just, you know, TIE fighters hot on the tail. There was nothing. I mean, it was amazing. I was like, I was that, you know, little girl fanboy, just total hard on.
It was amazing.
That was really cool.
The moment
and the fact that
saw
she was piloting it without a co-pilot was like, who is this chick? This chick is amazing. There's no Chewie there. What's going on?
There were three for me. The moment they saw the Falcon,
sure.
they're like, fuck yeah. that piece of shit. Let's get this plane.
Boom.
All right, the piece of shit. Yeah.
I told Alicia, it's the Falcon.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen any of the trailers.
Okay.
I hadn't seen. I had avoided everything. Wow. I knew nothing. I didn't even know the names.
Sure.
I didn't know Kylo Ren. I didn't know his name. I had avoided fucking everything.
That's impressive.
So when people on the Facebook page, on CCBE, when people would post, like, I got this new dark figure, I'd hide it from my feed.
Gotcha.
Immediately. The second was when she's like, she's fixing the Falcon, and he's like, how the fuck did you do that?
Right.
How did you do that? And then when they hide, when they get taken aboard his ship, and they hide in the
smuggling compartment.
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, oh. So those are like the three ones that stand out in my mind.
Nice.
Those were awesome.
That's awesome.
There was one other moment for me where Kylo is reaching out to take Luke's saber.
Mm-hmm.
And then it, like, flies past him
and
goes into her hand. I was like, yes! They're gonna fucking fight now!
That's one. So I have a pros and a cons list for episode 7. That's...
Yeah.
It's not flawless. I mean, it's got its giant plot holes, and that was one of them for me. Like, so Rey touches a lightsaber that's Luke, supposedly. Right. And how the fuck did that... Where, they cut his hand off in Empire, and that fell down the Bespin chute. Who fucking ponied up his lightsaber? Where did that come from to end up in that box?
So again, I read a million articles. Supposedly, there was a scene that cut out at the very beginning of the movie where they were... Somebody was supposedly... Like, you can't see who it is, but they come into the desert and they stumble upon the lightsaber.
Sure.
And then they take it to Maz somehow. You know what I mean? But right. Supposedly, there was some sort of explanation for that. Because you can... And once Maz comes down and finds her, she asks, or Han asks her, I think, where she got it. And she says, you know, that's a story for another time.
Right.
So they might touch on that in the future, but I understand where you're coming from. Yeah.
But one of my biggest issues was, you know, so Rey touches a lightsaber and now all of a sudden she can force pull. Mm-hmm. And she can Jedi mind control. It's like, ooh, there's no training there.
But do you think that some of that has to do with her being a major fangirl for that stuff?
It could be.
Because when she sees Han, and then when she hears him talking about it, all that stuff,
sure.
It sounds like she's been studying it. Yeah.
And maybe it's almost like the idea that she's self-taught. But what I really feel like it's going to end up being is that there's so much of the dark side in the universe that to bring the balance back, they need an exceptionally powerful light user. So my huge issue, my biggest issue was the main, like the Emperor Palpatine-esque character.
Yeah, Snoke.
Hated how Snoke looked.
Okay.
Every time he was on screen, I was like, man, that looks cheesy as shit.
Yeah.
And I get that he was like a projection and that's why he was so big and stuff, but just like he looked so CG and crappy that I
think
it.
I actually watched it took me one and two before. I saw the new one, and then I saw the third one. And watching Palpatine in those kind of same things, it looks pretty similar. To me, in my eyes, it looked pretty similar. And I don't know if that means that the graphics were shitty back in the old ones, too, but they looked fairly similar to me.
I didn't, you know, I can't say that there was a major thing that I disliked. I kind of felt like, I felt a little bit let down with Phasma.
Oh, yes, for sure, like, for sure.
Huge.
What the fuck, man? Because they
built,
that's it?
For me, too, because they built her up so much coming into the movie.
And then she did very well.
Yeah. I was like, come on. And you didn't, I mean, not that I was expecting her to take her helmet off, but just you didn't get to see what was under there. You didn't connect anything. It was
That was one of my questions going into it. You know, they made a huge deal about casting Gwendolyn Christie, a female, as this huge lead that, you know, is she going to take her? She, you know, her voice was clearly female, but how cool would it have been for her to remove the helmet and then her been there? I think that would have added more to it. And, you know, like you said, they're all coming back for episode 8, so, you know, that might happen.
Well, I think
except for Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Well, but he already signed on that he's going to be there, so
I'm
sure there'll be some flashback stuff.
And he'll be like, glowy.
Yeah.
I want to see glowy Harrison Ford.
But he's not a Jedi.
He can't be a Force being.
He's, yeah.
Shut your fucking
God damn it, Gabe!
I'm Solo. He can be whatever the fuck he wants to be.
I think what they were doing, and it was an unintentional consequence on Captain Phasma part, is that they were trying to mislead you with the information and the trailers and everything.
That's
and
accurate.
That's why it heavily relied on some of these other characters. Like one of the whole trailers was like the whole dream sequence.
Sure,
you know what I mean. And it didn't lead anywhere in the actual movie.
Right.
And I think that's why, you know, she got so much time in the beginning and there was so much press on her because they wanted you to focus on her instead of what was actually the plot of the movie.
To me, it felt like they were marketing her and trying to position her as the new Boba Fett. Mm. And I think that it failed terribly.
Yeah, but she's in the movie.
That's just what I...
exactly as much as Boba Fett is in the movie.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah, know, I think that's a fan-driven thing.
Approximately 15 fucking seconds.
Like, see, you can't fuck with the Fett, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, dude, don't fuck
exactly.
with the Fett. What we need in the next movie is a still shot of the Sarlacc pit and his middle finger sticking out. Oh, no.
That's right.
He's coming back.
That's right. Working his way out over thousands of millennia.
In the books, it ends up being his daughter. His daughter finds, like, the armor and, you know, because I assume Sarlacc's poop at some point, you know?
There's got to be an out.
Yeah,
I mean, everything's
an out hole.
Even if it's you know, if they eat, they also poop through that mouth. So,
so do you think they made that stuff non-canon so that they could steal from it?
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
Because the expanded universe,
right?
Yeah. Now they don't have to pay royalties to anybody. Right. And
there's
a
bunch of stuff that they use, like Kylo Ren. Like I read an article about like his lightsaber is the reason it looks so sketchy is because he made it.
Sure.
And like in the extended universe, they talk about that's like the final thing that Jedi's do is before they make their you become own lightsaber. But since he's not a Jedi and he's not even really a Sith, he's just like kind of this weird like dark force user. His lightsaber is super sketchy because nobody taught him how to do it right.
To go off of, just to add on to John's pros and cons list, like there is much like the list of like, oh, I want to know about this. I want to know about this. It's longer.
Sure.
It's like, who are the Knights of Ren? I assume that they're out there somewhere.
Right.
And we don't know who they are, but they're good fighters, right? Like, I still want to know who Snoke is. I want to know where the fuck he comes from, what the fuck that means. You want to know who Rey's, what her lineage is.
Exactly.
And all the supposition aside, you want to know who the fuck is he? Where is he stolen from?
Right. Why is it that he's the only one that can, like, break the protocol of his, like, mind control?
And so that pretty much confirmed what we had talked about a long time ago when we first saw the movie, was that we were wondering why he looks so different.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And he's that's the confirmation is that he's not a clone. They're stealing babies at this point to conform them to be stormtroopers.
The scene, the Nazi scene on the Starkiller base was one of the best scenes in the entire movie. Yeah. That fucking was so awesome.
I was telling my daughter that, is it Hex or Hux?
Hux.
I was telling my daughter that Hux almost like steals the show as a villain.
Sure.
Like, he's got some balls.
I love that Hux and Kylo are very much so equals.
Yeah.
Like they're not, they're both bad guys, but there's not like Moth Tarkin. Is that his name?
Grand Moff.
So he is in a lot of ways very subordinate to Darth Vader because Darth Vader like physically dominates him several times. Kylo and Hux do not have that. Like Hux talks back to him.
Right.
Hux is like, fuck this guy. Like he's the one that said we don't need the stupid droid because we're getting the girl's brain.
Right.
And then he can't do it, so fuck you, Kylo Ren. Right. You know?
Now we need to go get the droid.
Well, that's backed up by the fact that at the end Snoke says, I need you and Kylo to come to me.
Yeah.
So
I hope he has even more to do in the next one.
Kylo, I don't think so. And this to kind of tack on to what Steve was talking about, you know, he was saying out, you know, it's the poor man's Star Trek, is Star Wars. But what I loved about this one is in my opinion, and I've said this before, Star Wars is one of the masterworks. It stands. You can take that and you can put it in a special place amongst films. It broke ground. It did things that nobody had ever done before. Like,
well, and it was the first time we've ever seen a used universe, and that's what Lucas was trying to do with 4, 5, and 6. You know, before that, anything sci-fi was shiny and polished and neat and clean, and he had this idea of having a used universe where just like my fucking car outside because all the snow, it ain't clean. Same thing is happening with, you know, with what they're doing in Star Wars.
If you drive a land speeder over
fucking sand
for years and years and years,
it's going to get a little crusty.
It's going to look shitty, yeah.
But you have this masterwork, and if you're going to go back into that sandbox, you have to have some kind of homage to that. You have to pay homage to what that was. If you do it, you know, if you go way over the top with it, you start to pander, and people don't enjoy it because then you're kind of pissing on what was. He did it. He hit every, in my opinion, he hit every note that he needed to hit without pandering to play on the nostalgia, to sprinkle in the new stuff. And I hope that the next two movies are more new, less nostalgia.
Right.
But I feel like he had to do it that way.
Right.
He couldn't have done it any other way.
No.
Well, and it feels like it's going that direction. Like I said, the first one feels almost like a remake of A New Hope.
There's really nothing that we haven't seen before.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's all little bits and pieces, different places, but for the most part, you know, it's A New Hope, kind of.
But the movement of it, like going into the next episode, there's two main villains.
Right.
There's a whole new, like, the First Order is like a whole new version of, like, evil. They're not even...
There's three main villains.
Right.
Because, what's his name? Signed
Hux.
No. Well, I mean, if you count Hux, there's four, but what's his name? The Collector.
Oh, yeah. What's
Benicio del Toro signed on to be a major villain in the next movie.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. But there's, like, this whole, like, group of, like, evil characters. And, like, the First Order is different because it's not the Empire. They're not in charge. And as a consequence, they seem significantly more desperate.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, they blow up not one, but several planets, right. Like, in one shot. Dude, they suck the energy out of an entire fucking sun and then shoot it. Like, that was some of the coolest shit ever, man. I was watching that. I'm like, this is awesome.
I love that the guys around the Resistance thing was like, it's another Death Star. And they're like, no, this is the Death Star. This is the Star Killer. I just like that they have that tongue-in-cheekness of, yeah, we're kind of doing a Death Star, but it's a different Death Star. Look at how big it is, and it sucks the sun energy from a sun. And
I leaned over my daughter, and I was like, they really have to stop building space stations that have holes in the side of it.
One weakness. They'll never get through that weakness.
They'll never figure it out.
Seal that shit up, man.
I know. A little bit of concrete, a little bit of plaster, sprinkle some fake snow over it.
Something.
Just make it. They gotta have like invisibility stuff that far in the future. Right. Make it invisible. I did like the what did you used to do on this before you ran away? Oh, I worked in sanitation. Yeah. What are you gonna do about the shields? I don't know. We'll figure it out as we go. We'll use the force. That's not how the force works.
I do think that the way they characterize Kylo, they had the voice modulation. He had the obviously thing. He was infatuated with Vader, so we wanted to embody that as much as we could.
The back of his helmet looked exactly like Vader's helmet. Yeah. I loved just that. A little smaller. Like, yeah. But
then he took it off, and I connected that was perfect. I connected so much more with him as soon as he took it off, because then I got to see the anguish.
Sure.
I got to see the struggle. Right. I got to see him. I'm stuck in this, in this in-between place between the dark and the light. And
right.
I need to make this choice. I need to go one way or the other.
Right.
And I got to see that happen, on the base. But I thought, and I also thought that the scene with him and Han was like, I don't know, out of all the Star Wars scenes, that one compares. It's pretty close to the first confrontation between Luke and Vader on the Cloud City.
Sure.
Like that play, there wasn't a lot of fighting going on, but like that struggle and that like final resolve that like, okay, I'm going all the way.
Right.
Was one of the highlights of the
film. Yeah. I was going to flip the fuck out if they killed Chewie too, though. I was like, uh-uh, no way.
I suspended my disbelief for a little bit. I didn't see it coming. I thought there was going to be a struggle on the bridge and blah, 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 and he was going to kind of get away. So when he turned the lightsaber on and got him in the fucking chest, I literally was like,
yeah,
like it froze me for a little bit, and then to see him touch his face was like a really heartwarming like scene. It was crazy to see.
As soon as Kylo said, "I'm struggling, will you do whatever it takes to help me?"
Yeah.
I knew what was going to happen, because what he needed to help him was to kill his father.
Right.
And that's because he doesn't want to be good. Like, he has no desire to be good, but he still feels goodness inside of him, and that's what agonizes him, is he wants to go all the way. So
when Leia told Han, "If you see my son, bring him home," I was like, oh, he ain't going to be back. He's not going to make it. I was like, oh, shit.
As soon as they acknowledged that he was their son, I was like, Han's not making it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's another one of my cons, was the interaction between Han and Leia. For me, fell super flat, and I don't know why. But you would think you've got these two megastars, and they have a son who's obviously struggling. It just there wasn't any emotion there, and
no,
I thought I expected there to be more emotion.
I liked
that.
I liked a lot of the.
He didn't even kiss her, for Christ's sake.
But I liked a lot
because he didn't want to catch Smoker's lung.
And they're also like super, like they're estranged.
She sounded deeper than he did.
I did like there were some good parts to our relationship, and her response is, I mean, they were all right.
Yeah.
She acknowledges that they had a relationship, they have this son, but they, their relationship is rocky from the very beginning.
Sure.
You know, like, there's an attraction, but it seems almost, like, purely physical. And they don't really like each other a whole lot, but they got together, you know?
Well, and I think
I passed her kissing her brother.
I think a part of that
always
coldness...
in the back of your mind.
I think a part of that coldness has to do with...
How many arguments did that get brought up
in? Yeah, well, you made out with your brother!
You made out with your brother, you fucking weirdo!
That's why our son's fucked up.
I think some of that has to do with the fact that she's trying to save their son, where he just kind of gave up on him. You know what I mean? Some of that friction has to do with they're just in way two different way places, you know,
sure,
emotionally. And I think that's what some of that has to do with.
It's funny because we talk about, Carissa and I talk about that all the time. Like, I don't want my son to grow up a serial killer, you know?
Why do you talk about that?
Yeah.
Just, he's going to hear things. You. As a father, it's like, God, we hope to raise him right. So it kind of struck home with me, like, that Han basically left and Leia's, you know, struggling with whatever the resistance is, et cetera. But, you know, that they're like, they hope the best for their kid, but it's still, he's out there and he's doing his thing. And I don't know. It just,
well, but they knew he left to be on the dark side. Like, what
no,
do you,
no,
he left to go,
he left to go train with Luke.
But and afterward, I thought that they knew he kind of went to the dark
Luke
side.
Just gives up too.
Right.
Right.
I saw a meme that said Universal Hide and Seek Champion.
Oh yeah, I saw that too.
35 years. How awesome did he look though?
Oh, fucking
dude,
A.
When I saw him, I was like, oh shit. I
had another one of those.
Please let this movie be another hour long.
Yeah. I know.
The best scene in the movie was when Kylo stopped that fucking.
Yes.
Oh my god, yes.
That we've never seen before.
I looked at my daughter and I go, you can do that?
That's what makes me think, like, kind of what you were saying about Rey, like, you know, or you must be the chosen one.
Sure.
Like, maybe they fucked up and Anakin wasn't the chosen one, and you're like, that's the only way this makes sense, that you're this powerful,
right,
with
right
no
off the bat
training whatsoever.
Because even in New Hope, you know, when Luke is flying his X-Wing and Obi-Wan tells him to use the Force, he's obviously been, in the small amount that we've seen him take the saber, we've seen him with the blast shield down in the training remote, he's obviously working on it. So it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that he can shoot his proton torpedo down the hole in the side of the fucking sphere.
But you gotta remember,
let's include one major flaw in this space station.
They can never hit that.
And hope they never figure it out.
I used to bullseye womp rats in my T-16 back home. They're no more than 2 meters wide.
It looks like she's been trained by somebody, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Because she wields that staff like a champ. So, you know, staff to lightsaber, you know, it probably comes pretty...
She knows how to handle a
tall game. She works that staff.
It probably comes easier, you know what I mean, than having
after the staff working.
But going back to how powerful Ren is... I love that it seemed like a little over the top. You know what I mean? It seemed like he really was struggling with that power. When he holds her, it looks like she's forcefully being held. You know what I mean? When he sets his helmet down, it fucking boom. You know it? Yeah. It's just it accentuates it, and I think it's cool because to me it kind of furthered that emotional kind of distraught kind of feeling.
Well, and just his raw aggression when he takes it out on the fucking, you know, the chair that she was sitting in, and the two stormtroopers are walking down and they're like, nope.
I told Juan that was one of my favorite scenes. The stormtroopers like walk around the corner, they hear what's going on, they're like, man, fuck that.
There was a meme of him without his helmet on and it was like Darth Emo.
So there's a Twitter account, it's like, I can't remember what the name of it is, but it's basically Emo Kylo Ren, and some of the stuff that they fucking tweet, like, you haven't heard the Imperial March until you've heard it on vinyl. It's fucking genius. It's so awesome.
What's crazy is I totally own it on vinyl.
Oh, that's
awesome.
That's cool.
So I'm sure we're going to come back to Star Wars in our movie segment. So we want to wrap up this segment of Star Wars.
Do we want
to
say any more spoilery things?
My last favorite thing ever was BB-8 giving the flamethrower a thumbs up.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I was like, I want that droid even more now.
I like when he shocks.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, stop that. I didn't steal this. And he shocked him again. Stop it.
I like him better than R2.
Do you really?
Yeah, me too.
Oh, man.
He has more personality because I think
he can hang his head.
I was going to say, I think some of it is the way he's able to move.
Right.
So that's a real prop.
Yeah.
And Evan and I have already discussed how to make build it, how to program it. Like that's
so my father-in-law. My father-in-law is an engineer, so he loves buying things just to take them apart. And it's funny because he was going to do that with this, and he said, "I didn't," because they're $150 or whatever they are, and he's like, "I didn't want to take this one apart." So he read schematics online and all that shit too. But it made me laugh because I looked at the instruction thing. First line, it says, do not disassemble. It just made me fucking laugh.
No disassemble.
Yeah.
So we've, like, the shell, like the ball, I mean,
he's like 3 feet tall.
So
yeah.
We want to build a full-size replica, and it's actually, it wouldn't be that bad. Like, the motor for the base, like, his head is like, it's an arm with a magnet, and there's a pivot point in the center so his head can move. You know, when he's stationary, his head can bend with the ball. And then as the bottom piece has four drivers on it for forward, sideways, you know, all kinds of motion. But it wouldn't be, like, that would be, he would be easier to build, I think, than an R2 unit would be.
Really?
Built. Yeah.
That's cool. I saw there was a video on YouTube of a guy in Canada who's already built one, and like he takes it around and he goes to children's hospitals and stuff.
Oh, that's
and like,
cool.
So this that's is way what, fucking cool.
This is one thing that's cool, just not just about Star Wars, but about like science fiction in general. Like I told you guys, like my daughter immediately wanted to go buy lightsabers and fight her brother with it,
build
like,
one.
Right after the show,
and then he's got an eye patch on right now.
Yeah, she like went into her room and started digging on the internet to try to figure out how to actually build a lightsaber. Well, my daughter's 13, so she has a whole lifetime of like maybe going to like, you know, engineering school or
maybe
something
being
like
a
that,
Jedi,
literally trying to figure out how to build a lightsaber, you know. And Matt here is like, yeah, my son got a phone for Christmas, a cell phone for Christmas, and his background is a picture of Darth Vader and it says free throat hugs. So, I don't know, I love that about science fiction. There's so much of it that's like, it sparks your imagination, and you want to go create that. Like, my daughter wants to make a lightsaber, Matt wants to make a BB-8,
yeah.
Like, those are all things that are valid and awesome. Right. Too bad the hoverboards are so stupid and catch on fire and have wheels.
pisses me off,
too.
And only douches ride them.
So the last thing I'll touch base on before we, if anybody else wants to say anything, I read an article. So the article says that what if Kylo Ren is really an inside agent? The fact that he says, when he's talking to his helmet, he says, you know, I want to finish what you started, refers to Darth Vader becoming a kind of semi-good guy at the end of his life.
Overthrowing Palpatine.
Right. And he wants to kind of, the only way for him to do that is to go through what he's going through right now in order to overthrow the, you know, the, what are they called?
The First Order.
The First Order.
That Snoke is so powerful that he needs both Rey and himself to fight him, and that the only way that he can commit to it is, and that's why he asks Han, are you willing to do anything to help me out? And so that's why he takes it in the chest,
and that's
which is interesting.
Which is what she said.
I could buy that if... Yeah. But it would disappoint me if Snoke turned out to be some kind of Sith Lord.
Yeah,
like there's been I've seen
Darth
rumors
Plagueis.
That he's Plagueis, you know, and that would honestly disappoint me.
Yeah,
because I kind of like the idea that the Sith is dead.
Sure,
and that you know the dark side of the Force is not just a Sith thing.
Right,
like you know if you're Force sensitive, you can go either direction with
sure.
it. So if the Sith are all dead, and I would much rather this is a new dark side of the Force user.
Right.
And that's why I think Rey is the way she is because she's not a Jedi. She's something else. Like the Jedi and the Sith are gone. Like I think that's where it's going to go.
Luke's still alive, asshole.
But he's the last one. And can he really truly be a Jedi? Because
he's a Jedi master, fool.
because he's missing a hand. He's got a thing against handicapped people now.
Yeah.
So is Anakin. Oh, man. He's a knight.
Yeah, that's
he got
right.
Promoted to the fucking.
He was missing a hand too.
I don't think.
Come
did,
on.
I don't think they were allowed to be on the council if they were missing parts. I'm just saying. I read a lot of the books. I remember that being like a big deal.
That's not valid.
That's
now,
not
though.
Canon, bro. Yeah. Yeah. But I thought that was a really cool article, and yeah, if that too. Really happens, that's fucking. It's crazy to think about.
Yeah. So when does the next one come out? Are we waiting 2 years. A year or 2 years?
2 years.
About 17.
Yeah.
17.
So Rogue One hits next year, though.
Next year.
16.
Yeah. Yeah. And then.
Okay. So they're doing it in between. So it's like an anthology, then a new one, then an anthology, then a new one.
Right.
Okay. As long as I get Star Wars every year for a while, I'm happy.
Okay.
Like, I didn't want to wait. I didn't want to wait 2 years. I'm like, no, goddamn it.
There's one movie, even with the new episodes, that I want to see more than anything else.
Yeah.
The Fett.
Yeah.
Tales of the Bounty
Tales
Hunter.
Tales of the Fett. I just, goddamn it.
Yeah.
Show me the Fett.
Right.
That I loved
intrigues me more than anything.
The
else.
Rogue Squadron books were some of my favorite books when I was a kid, so I'm super excited to see those.
Me too.
Because they were just like war books, but like Star Wars.
Exactly.
So. Well, and that's what they... So I read something that said Rogue One was going to be more war-like because they had hired a certain amount of people who had been to war or, you know, were veterans or something to come help them work on the movie, and they were going to be in the movie.
It's,
it's
about a fighter pilot squadron.
Yeah, exactly.
They still... That's stealing Death Star
plans. Right.
Yeah.
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 Okay. See, that's intriguing because I like the idea that there may be more, you know, like, oh, we're in this, you know, intergalactic city, you know, like a big city like Coruscant or something. Right. And like, we're in like the dark alleys. I'm meeting with a guy to get a little bit of information to like go to that. That's fucking cool.
Yeah.
You know, the possibilities for the anthology series is really intriguing.
Yeah.
So do we think Rey is Luke's family or Han's family?
I don't think either.
No?
I think she's going to be something else.
I hope she's something else.
Yes.
I really do hope that she's not related to anybody.
Who's her family? Windu.
She's Greedo's daughter.
Why is... Oh, no, never mind. I was about to ask something stupid, and I'm going to keep it inside because it's stupid. Question will never be asked.
If she turns up being Luke's family,
it'll be annoying.
It'll be a cop out.
Yeah,
like, that's the easy route.
I
Come
agree,
on, guys. No, fuck that. If she was like Qui-Gon's or something, I'd be kind of if they did some because as far as I can tell, they've tried to stay as far away from 1, 2, and 3 as they
as possible.
Can.
Have you seen the stuff though that's about like Qui-Gon and Anakin's mom? Mm-hmm. So like every time Qui-Gon is in like proximity of Anakin's mom, he's all like touching her, like. Rubbing her shoulder and stuff. And if you like just watch those little snippets, it's like super like sexually predatory. Like it's like really awkward. That would be hilarious if it was like Luke's half brother's like daughter or something like that.
Did you like the Daniel Craig cameo?
Yeah, that was fucking cool.
It was amazing.
So he was the one that got my trick.
Yes. Yeah. So he's the stormtrooper that she first tricks.
Oh, okay.
I was like, oh, James Bond? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that was Daniel Craig.
There's also a Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
Cameo.
Yes.
I think, and I don't know which one.
He's the monster giving out portions.
Okay.
Dude, have you guys seen the Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, C-3PO, and R2-D2?
No.
Oh my gosh, when we take a break, we'll watch it.
Nice.
Like, it's super, super funny. It's them wandering in the desert. And Simon Pegg is C-3PO, Nick Frost is R2-D2.
Of course.
And Simon Pegg is like, you know, I need to get out of this sand before all of my joints freeze up. And Nick Frost goes, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bloop. And Simon Pegg's all, are you going to do it like that the whole time? Like, you got to do, like, knowing whistles, like... And then he gets mad at him. He's like, why don't we just do it in English? Like, well, it's funny. We'll watch it.
Why the fuck did C-3PO have a red arm? And then at the end, he didn't have a red arm.
So, again...
Well, he says in the movie, I gotta get my arm fixed. So they fix his arm.
So, another article...
God damn, you read a lot of Star Wars articles.
One can read.
So they're coming out with comic books
that's supposed to explain that.
I do like that he's all Han Solo. I am C-3PO, human cyborg relations. You may not recognize me because I have a red arm.
So in the comic book, not the shattered one, the other one, the just Star Wars one.
Yeah,
I think you read that one. There is a red C-3PO, and he's totally red, and he's like a murderer.
He's
C-3PO.
The bad guy, C-3PO.
He's not red, he's black.
I thought he was red. Is he black?
I'm pretty sure he's black.
Oh, maybe he was black. I thought he was red for some reason.
Those are the assassin droids. Mm.
I just knew
the ones that
had
like the...
Because I was trying to figure out who...
Battlestar Galactica faces.
No. I was trying to figure out who the character...
No, they're literally like, it's like a C-3PO and a R2. They're
I was
Darth
trying
Vader.
To figure out who the character was that was supposedly coming from that comic book to go into the movie.
Right, exactly. Because that's why Darth Vader number 3 sold out and is asking...
Right.
It's commanding more of a price because it supposedly introduced the two assassin droids that were going to be in episode 7, which they weren't. Spoiler alert.
We're in the whole spoiler section.
The other one that was disappointing was the Gongrian guards, the guys with the dots.
Yes.
I thought they were going to be a big thing, and then they had less screen time than Phasma. Fucking Phasma, and people were getting crazy to get those fucking those figures for the Black Series.
Yep.
But that's the thing. So I watched a really interesting documentary, and I cannot remember what
it's called.
You
didn't read an article like Wanda?
No, I only watch shit.
I read a shit ton of articles.
So
holy cow.
I watched this really cool documentary that's about the history of Star Wars toys.
Like,
and it was really, really cool. I cannot remember what it's called. It's going to drive me nuts. But they were talking about it's the first series of toys where you flipped over the card and there was a picture of all the figures.
Right.
And it said, collect them all. Right. And that was like a huge deal.
Yep.
And that like sensibility of like, I have to have all the characters, no matter how minor.
Even
like
super obscure.
Like you were just looking up
like
assassin droids on your thing. And the first thing that came up was IG-88. I remember I wanted a fucking IG-88 figure so goddamn bad when I was a kid. IG-88 is in the movie for like a fucking half a second. Like, so it's
all of them. Dengar, all of the bounty hunters, Zuckuss, you know, but they all had action
they
figures.
All had action
E.T. figures.
Kenner did not fuck around
no,
back
they didn't.
In the day.
It was genius.
Dude, it's really, really cool, like, the way that all happened. And they basically stumbled into it. Like, nobody wanted the toys.
Right.
And they... nobody wanted the toys. It had been, like, shopped to, like, every major toy company. And Kenner's like, yeah, we can do some stuff with this. And they got to go to, like, a screening that was, like, literally 3 months before the movie came out. And they're like... taking like notebooks full of notes, like, oh my god, we can make this and we can make this and we can make this. They knew they weren't going to have the toys out in time for Christmas, so what they did is for like $40 you could buy a card.
It's like a piece of cardboard,
like a piece of cardboard that said, when the toys come out, we'll ship them to you.
Yeah.
And people bought them like crazy.
And as a result, that's like the most if you have that redemption cardboard thing, it's one of the rarest things that you can find.
Yeah. That's where the double extending Vader toy. That's and
right.
then they didn't sell him.
Yeah,
outside
it was just
of that.
It was just a prototype.
So the regular Vader just had the one.
Right.
And then
Or the other thing they talk about is the firing rocket Boba Fett.
Yes, exactly.
So that's not a real toy.
Right.
It was made as prototypes, but everybody had a cousin or a nephew that had the one that fires the rocket, but nobody did.
Is it going to beat out Avatar?
I hope so.
For the top grossing movie ever?
I assume so. It's
gonna
crack,
hard.
It's going to crack a billion.
It was at, last time I checked, and this was on Friday.
Triple Zero was the name of the Assassin Protocol droid.
Okay.
Last time I checked, it was at 890 million.
Yeah. It was supposed to crack a billion by the end of this week, supposedly, by the end of this weekend.
I think it will, because I know people who... have gone and who are on their third time seeing it, and there are still lines. They're still lining up.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, some of the theaters.
You know what I think is helping that is the fact that they didn't screen their movie to anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So what they did is 2 days, I think it was, before the movie came out, they let critics come in and watch it, screen it like in an audience.
True.
Whereas normally they'll send out DVDs to major companies and let them watch it and do all of that. So it has yet to be leaked.
Gotcha.
And I think that's actually, like, Hateful Eight got leaked a week or two before it ever came out in the theaters. And I think that's actually helping its numbers, is that nobody is able to watch it. There hasn't been one good copy on the internet yet.
And you've probably looked.
I haven't looked. I just know people.
So it's cracked a billion. So officially as of right now, it's got a worldwide total of 1.091.
Wow.
against a budget of $200 million. So they've made $800 million.
Right. Dude, think about Disney. Think about Disney.
Oh, yeah.
The Avengers start. Dude, they are.
I read an article this morning.
Hey.
Whoa.
That Disneyland is already starting to close rides down in preparation for Star Wars Land that they're building in there.
They are going to become. Like, you talk about. So I recently watched RoboCop, and I started thinking about OCP. And like how, like one corporation that came to dominate something so fun, not Hobocop.
It's a little different.
If they keep going on this trend, making billions of dollars in revenue every couple of years, they could dominate every form of.
Not even every couple of years, every year. Because
not even every
Age of Ultron, Ant-Man, and now this came out this
like,
year.
It's like every 3
it's
months.
It's fucking insane.
Dude, that's unprecedented.
It's unreal.
Like, one company is making billions of dollars, like...
Fucking mouse.
In a week. In a week.
Fucking
in a week.
Mouse.
Fucking mouse.
1 week, they made $1 billion. That's fucking
crazy.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Dude, could you... Okay, so here's the really cool thing. There are guys that are credited, like, somebody like Daniel Craig. Okay, Daniel Craig signs on for a cameo where you don't even see his face.
Right.
If he gets, like, a fraction of a percent of a residual check, set for fucking life.
Right.
Like, he literally is like, oh, Bond movies, no thank you, I was in Star Wars for half a second.
Right.
You know?
And he was so fucking convincing before it came out that he wasn't going to be in that fucking movie. He told Simon Pegg to go fuck himself because he said something about it. It was so awesome.
Cool. Oh no, it's the whole thing's awesome. Like, I love Star Wars. Like, I've loved it since I was a kid. Like, I saw Empire in the theater with my dad and like immediately made him take me to Kmart to buy toys.
Yep.
You know, it's just, man, it's doing it.
Think Lucas is regretting his sale?
Yes.
I don't know
him. Because he did three movies where they weren't that. I mean, could he have even pulled this off?
So here's the thing:
would anybody even trust him?
I just asked the question, and you guys are like crazy.
He did it with a twinkle in his eye.
Oh,
I just let loose with a stream of profanity there.
So we're gonna take a break.
Well, we're 50 minutes in.
Oh,
so
you have to fast
so
forward.
So 5 minutes in, you need to fast forward 45 more minutes.
why don't we
So we're gonna take a break now, and then we'll be back to record the best of stuff.
This is Jason Mentz, and you're listening to Outside the Long Box.
And we're back. John's is better than mine.
It's because you're too over the top.
You're over the top.
You got like the Hollywood on it. You know what I mean? You put the Hollywood spin on it.
Hollywood! And we're back!
I don't know if that's an insult or...
I don't either.
I don't know either.
I'm offended.
And we're back!
Oh, okay.
I watch a lot of Price is Right.
Drew Carey or Bob
Barker? Come on down.
Yeah, I love that.
Drew Carey or Bob Barker?
Yes, I like both of them.
Do you?
All right, so.
Bob Barker, then he's really dead and he's a puppet. With his little tiny microphone thing.
You ever think that he would just think to himself, I should just bop this person in the head with a little tiny microphone. Pretend like he's my dick.
It's a big dick.
And that's why
he tried to fuck
all of them. Yeah. I'm sure he did.
I don't think he tried to fuck them.
That was a stipulation of being one of the models. Yeah. It's like,
I'm going to need to get you in bed.
Old dead Bob's going to probably bang you a couple
old
times.
Dead Bob.
Dead dick Bob. Don't worry, you won't get pregnant because it just blows dust.
No, because he spays and neuters himself.
Try to control the pet and model population.
Oh, shit.
Be sure to spay and neuter your dog and game show host.
That's right. We could write a comic about that. The underground world of Price is Right. Oh, fuck.
God, we're idiots.
Should we get to the actual part of this show?
The meat and potatoes.
Fucking recorded an hour before we actually get
just
into
Star
the
Wars.
Real show. So,
and I could go on about Star Wars.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I hear you.
Like, why didn't Max von Sydow have more of a role at the beginning? Nobody
why
even
is
knows
there
who
so
he
much
is.
Gay fan service.
Supposedly, he's supposed to have more of a role in the future.
Oh yeah. Are you serious?
Supposedly.
You serious,
I don't
Clark?
Know how.
Serious, Clark? It's real nice. Real nice.
Holy shit.
Oh, man. See? Right there. See why I want to see him more often? Because this is funnier.
I want to see him
Gabe
more
wants
often.
To kick me off
Gabe
the show.
Is, Gabe talked about kicking John off the show and replacing him even. It wasn't just kicking you off the show.
Oh, my God.
He's like, we'll record once a year with you forever.
I didn't even say that.
And then we'll tell nobody we're here.
And we have a stand-in for you, by the way.
Yeah.
You guys.
Revolt, John. Kill Gabe and take his place amongst the Pantheon.
There can be only one.
Exactly. Did you see?
Here we are. Born to be kings. We are princes of the universe. I can't do a Freddie Mercury.
I think what you meant is, we are immortal. We have the sacred blood of kings.
I hope my recorder picked that up.
I think they need to keep going.
Oh my goodness.
They need to continue. I want more.
That's
all. No, I just know
that's
the old.
That's all you got? Oh.
I really only know those two lines from that song, which is ridiculous because I watched it like fucking
constantly
every week forever. So
an awesome show.
So movies. Moving first. On to the best movie,
best of 2015.
Movies. There you go. That was good.
Thanks. Yeah, and movies.
Movies. Yeah, not the top five movies of the year.
Too bad because you're getting my
the top
five
one movie of the year.
I don't know that I've seen five movies this year, so
I
that would be
down.
A problem.
You know how empty my wallet's going to be fucking next year. Holy shit! There's so many movies coming out next year.
Like what?
You got fucking Batman vs. Superman. You have Suicide Squad. You have the next, the Rogue One.
Yeah, that's
you've
three.
Got, well, Deadpool. I was looking, Deadpool.
Deadpool four. Looks that fucking hilarious.
You know what trailer I'm not excited about at all? X-Men Apocalypse.
And we'll get to that. We'll get to that in the
okay.
Because we have best in, it's really.
We don't have worst. You have worst.
I have worst. And I'll bring up
I have things. One worst in the movie section.
I've got the top 15 worst trailers of.
Yeah, I only have
and
one best.
One or two pages on each one.
All right, so one point at me, so I'm going to go first.
Yes.
So, dude, I have a top five list. So, okay, I'm going to talk
go
about
through
my,
it.
I'm going to talk about my process on this. So, I tried to find movies that were released in 2015 that I saw in 2015,
right, which is the point.
Yeah, but there's a few movies.
If it was released in 2015 and you saw it in 2014, that's not possible, man.
No. But there's two movies that I wanted to put on my list but couldn't. I saw them in 2015, but they came out last year.
Mm, yeah, I'm going to edit this part out.
Yeah. Now we've all laughed and you can't. Fuck off. So
he's going to do it, though, this one time.
The two that I
they're
saw.
They're going to be like, what did he say? Yeah.
The two that I saw that were from last year that were awesome were As Above, So Below and
good
Baba,
movie.
Babadook, which was
I didn't see that movie.
Fucking awesome. They're both horror movies. I watched both of them with Bailey. They were really, really good. So I'm going to go through my five because I have to. Number five, I put down Kung Fury. If you guys have not seen Kung Fury, it's hilarious. Fuck you, Matt. Like, it's so funny. Like, it's an 80s action movie, but over the top. It's about a rogue cop with a triceratops partner, and there's
you know
Viking
what?
Ladies
I,
that ride
I
dinosaurs.
I feel like Matt is like the 90-year-old grandpa that's right next to you.
I remember back in my day, he's had actual humor in him.
It sounds like Axe Cop.
It
like,
is exactly
you...
like Axe okay. Cop, and it's hilarious. So
they should be sending him a cease and desist?
Probably, yeah. Number four, I put Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yes.
Like, fucking an awesome movie that I think got buried under other really great movies this year.
I did see that one.
Me too.
It's not on my list, though.
Number three, I put Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. Fucking love that movie. It's a movie about movies. Like, just really, really cool. Number two, I put Trumbo, which is about Dalton Trumbo and, like, the blacklist, like the communist blacklist back in, you know, the 50s and 60s and like how that affected people. It's got Alan Tudyk from Serenity in it. It's got Louis C.K. in it. It's got
Walter White.
Walter White, yeah, whose okay. name is a real adult name and I don't remember what it is.
Bryan Cranston?
Bryan Cranston. Go. He plays Trumbo.
Mister, I suck with names.
I know.
Right out of your ass.
He read an article about it this
he
morning.
Read an article about it.
I did.
I feel like it's an absolute like must-see movie if you like movies about politics or you like movies about movies. Like, so Trumbo, really, really good movie.
Like Spaceballs? That's a movie about a movie.
It is a movie about a movie.
When will then be now?
And then my number one is Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, come on, guys. Like, we got a new Star Wars movie this year.
Yeah. Merry fucking amazing. Christmas yeah, we literally And even just all the little cons that I have, there's still nothing in comparison right. to, like,
how awesome it was.
Blown away.
What was your top movie?
Well, Star Wars was number one. The other one that I wrote down was Ant-Man, because I really enjoyed Ant-Man. It was, From the comedy aspect, I love Paul Rudd. You know, it's just, it was a fun, shut up over there. God.
Next time you say something, she wants to take him on the chest. Come over here and say it into the mic.
Oh God,
Carissa farts. Yeah, I have a man crush on Paul Rudd. Big fucking deal. I loved it. It was exactly what I was expecting out of a superhero summer movie. You know,
they did so well at taking a serious thing and making it funny yes. at points. Like when they're fighting on the train set,
yes.
and you pan out and you don't hear anything, right. but you see. Fucking just Thomas toys the falling tank. And yeah. shit. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. So that those are my. I don't have a top five, but I had Star Wars and Ant-Man.
Nice. So as much as I love Star Wars, Mad Max Fury Road is the best movie that I've seen this year. Like there wasn't a point in that entire movie where I felt like I could pick something apart or take it. Like I couldn't really find a con.
So that was like a really weird feeling for you.
It was very weird. From the moment it opened, I was on the edge of my seat, like peeled to the screen, watching it happen. As far as cinema goes, it had everything that I wanted. It was small in the right places. It was big in the right places.
That's what she said.
It was dystopic.
That's what John said about Paul Rudd.
Post-apocalyptic. You see? You made me fuck that all
That's
up.
That's what I have to do. That's why I'm on the show. Not anymore, though, according to Gabe.
I never should talk.
I agree, man. It was a movie that we sat down, and it had me by the throat from start to finish.
The mix of practical and special effects.
Yes.
Indeed, it was even better than Star Wars.
Like, I would agree.
The balance between when you saw, like, some of the chase scenes where they panned out in the storm sequence looked fine, but then the actual practical effects when the cars are fucking blowing up and there's a guy playing a guitar that shoots fucking 50-foot flames.
It's like
guitar.
Tethered to the... Yeah, all the like, dun, 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 dun.
It was fucking incredible. Yeah. The after, like, the toe cutter and then after... what the fuck is his name? The beefcake guy with the mask. Oh shit. Mr. Humongous?
Yeah, I think so.
Mr. Humongous, I didn't think there could be a better villain, but Immortan Joe was the best villain in the series so far. It's if you haven't seen that movie, treat yourself and see that fucking movie. It's incredible.
I'm the only one I think that hasn't seen
I haven't seen it yet either.
Oh, okay. Like, I wanted to see it in the theater because I fucking love the Mad Max movies, and it just... It's one of those things, like, you have a gajillion kids like me. Everything gets put, we'll go next week, we'll go next week, we'll go next week. It's not there.
So I'm the same way, but now my sister's like, anytime you want me to take care of your two kids, bring them over. So we did that with Star Wars. I was like, hey, can you watch them while we go see this movie? Oh, yeah, of course. Anytime you want to go see a movie, you let me know. So I was like, okay. Hey, she's married, Gabe.
Let me add four more. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Side note, I have the DVD, so anytime you want to come watch it in the theater room.
Burn one and say thank you.
And watch it.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. It's giving you this gift.
This is Matt's gift to me.
I had absolutely nothing to do with the fucking movie.
I know. I have to buy the weed and I have to go get the movie at Juan's house.
But do it.
It's really just him telling me to do something.
I would really like to hear what you think of it. I'd like to hear you guys talk about it.
I don't even honestly don't remember a ton about the old Mad Max stuff.
You don't
in general.
Yeah, dude, you don't.
No?
I remember all sorts of shit about it.
It's one of those movies, again, that I was really young when they came out, and that's not what any of my... That's not what anybody in my family really liked, anything like that, so it never was a thing.
You were never
me.
Exposed to cool things, I understand.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Yeah. How are we here, asshole?
Master Blaster.
Say again louder!
Dude, Steve. Steve does that.
That's
to
funny.
His wife.
Hashtag.
What? That's funny. She'll what? Like. Steve does that to his wife like fairly regularly. He'll be like, "Sarah, who run Bartertown?" She'll be like, "Shut the fuck up, Steve."
I'm gonna do that to Marie.
I know.
I found something to piss her off.
Yes.
When you want her to do something like wash the dishes or whatever, that's when you do it.
When she tells me to do something, I look at her and I say, "You don't own my body."
But I'm going to use that one, Chris. Did you hear that?
That's really good.
You got to know. You got to do it before this comes out. So before 3 or 4 weeks from now, you need to do it.
Okay.
And then be mad
to us about how many times she punches you in the
head. I'm gonna make a sign. And
she's gonna take a picture, bro.
Says Bartertown. To set it up.
Be like, who run Bartertown, Marika? You know exactly what she's going to say. She's going to say, "Fuck you, Matt."
She's going to say, "You want some of this?"
That's right.
He's pointing.
I run. I run this.
Who run Vagina Town? Me.
Therefore, I run. Yes, dear.
Okay,
I'll take the sign down. Embargo.
Have you seen that fucking... Have you seen that fucking football commercial where the wife walks out and, like, part of the fence is gone?
Yeah.
She said, "Did you take the fucking fence again?" Yeah. It was funny.
Because they're making a defense.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I get it.
For all those listeners out there.
Sports balls.
Sports balls in your mouth. Star Wars. What are you doing?
A little chubby.
It's got real awkward. Fucking John's over here playing with a foiled dick.
Yeah.
I thought he was showing.
Oh, Star Wars. Oh.
I thought he was showing you his camel toe. I couldn't see.
Jeez, don't.
If you spread don't the balls, inspect. If you spread, you know, get one ball, gotta, you can make it.
You can. And it feels lovely.
Does it?
It does.
It's so veiny.
Chris touches him on his clit.
Wait, what?
Just tickles his nuts. That's what he does when he's done.
That's right.
Oh, man.
That's right.
This show. I feel like I wasn't lying when I told Kevin Smith this show's mostly about chin dildos.
Yeah.
It's just dicks, farts. Oh, yeah, we liked Star Wars. Let's talk about that shit for a fucking hour.
Oh, shit.
What?
I'm broke. I don't know what the fuck. Do you want to sell them or do you want me to write them down?
I don't give a fuck.
You can say them.
So Marika's best movie was Star Wars. She said it was everything I didn't even know it wanted. I wanted it to be little bits of nostalgia and great new characters. I freaking love what they did with Rey. She is a badass and does not need anyone to hold her hand. Looking forward to seeing it again.
Oh, dude, nice. I did love that. We gotta run. I don't need you to hold my hand to do that.
I know how to run.
That was awesome.
Marika's very much gravitates towards women, powerful women characters, and wants women characters to not need men, and because that's the way she's like. Honey, I don't fucking need you.
Yeah.
So
that's how my wife is too. She doesn't need me. She just enjoys my company.
Yeah.
For whatever bizarre reason. So Juan, what was yours?
Star Wars. I think you do a better Mexican accent than I do.
That's bad, man. What the hell?
I wasn't born in Mexico. Sorry.
Neither was he.
I wasn't either.
Yeah, but he's a good impressionist. Have you heard of Schwarzenegger? Shit. He's good.
He doesn't habla.
No habla.
I do hablo.
You hablo.
I do hablo.
Would you hablo me right now?
So behind Star Wars was Hateful Eight. Because it's fucking amazing. It's so long,
and
there's not, like, the action that's in there is awesome, and it's fucking bloody and gory as shit, because that's a Quentin Tarantino movie. But there's not a ton of it. He described it as a Western, but I think you wouldn't know that except for the fact that they have guns and wear cowboy shit.
Like, as cowboys. Yeah.
But it's such a good... It's probably one of his better movies. It's a really good movie.
The review I read of it that really excited me for it described it as Quentin Tarantino putting a bunch of people in a room to talk to each other until they all have to kill each other.
Yes.
I'm like, that is exactly what I want every fucking Quentin Tarantino movie to be.
And that's,
if anybody can nail fucking written dialogue, it is that man.
And that's why he filmed it in 70mm, because that is better for having multiple people in one screen when you're shooting for such a long time.
Yeah.
And it's just a really, really good. Where Django was good as well, but it was like nonstop, like action. Constant fucking people are dying and shit's going crazy. This was just, it literally was like, you know, maybe so 10 or 15. No hoods. Maybe 10 or 15 minutes are not in this cabin, but the rest of the movie is in one room. But you get to see different perspectives of the people that are in the room, and it's it's just fucking cool.
Is it as quotable as like Pulp or Reservoir?
I mean, that's hard because Pulp is fucking amazing. Because
his previous, like his last, like Django and Inglourious, they're not as quotable. That doesn't mean that the dialogue is still amazing, but there just aren't those quotes that implant themselves in your mind when you're watching the film.
Like, I don't know. Django has a ton of those for me. Like, especially the scene where, like, the Klan is trying to figure out the whole hood situation. and then when, like, the, you know, when Django, quote-unquote, runs out of bullets, and Sam Jackson's like, I heard six shots, you know.
But you can't quote it.
I can't quote it because Juan edits it out when I say it.
I can't quote really anything. I mean, unless it's a really, like, iconic movie, I'm very bad at quotes.
There's a lot of them, like
I remember like
when
scenes.
Django asks him, do you know how to spell your name? Yeah, there's a D in front of it. D-A-G-J-A-N-G-O or however.
B-I-N-G-O.
Dude, what's his name, O?
I fucking have put so much cold medicine in my brain today.
That's exactly so to me,
but like, awesome. I felt like it was a pretty quotable movie. Like,
A-N-G-O. A-N-G-O.
Fucking guys, I dislike you both.
I think we broke him again.
Dude, I'm waiting for the day when you say something and Juan just pisses himself.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh,
I know, me too.
Well, you won't be because we'll never be here again.
Oh my god. Fine, my plan is terrible.
Oh, shit.
So I don't think that they, like, when I go in the bag and get my wallet out of there. Which one's yours? The one that says bad motherfucker on it. And I will strike down upon thee with, like, there are so many from Pulp Fiction. Like, it starts, and, like, every 2 or 3 minutes, there's a quote that pops into my mind. And it happened when I first saw the movie. I was like, I'm going to remember that. I'm going to remember
that's
that.
That's what I was just going to ask
remember
you.
That.
Yeah.
Because I can quote a movie after I've seen it, like, 8 times, but especially with this one being 3 fucking hours, there's moments where I'm like, oh shit, that was really fucking funny what he just said, but I have a very short-term memory, so it's hard for me, but it was really good nonetheless.
I loved in Pulp Fiction when he pulled the wallet out. I remember seeing it in the theater, and when it actually said bad motherfucker on it, I was like, oh, he wasn't joking. Like,
he is a bad motherfucker.
Bad motherfucker, and his wallet says so. Like,
Samuel L. Jackson is fucking hilarious in this movie.
One of the reviews I read said that Samuel L. Jackson is a national treasure. I was like, that's amazing.
So I have a question for you. Where does quotability rate on Matt's good movie scaleness?
It doesn't necessarily, just because it's quotable, doesn't necessarily make it a great, or, you know, doesn't make it or break it.
Okay.
If it's quotable, I will tend to gravitate. I will want to see it again.
Gotcha.
To pick as much out of it as I can.
Okay.
That's why I've watched Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs. I can't tell you how many fucking times.
So Toby Wong, Charlie fucking Chan.
That's why I watched Clerks so many fucking times. You know, or what's another great one? Goodfellas.
Sure.
You know, Casino. There are certain ones that the Departed. You know, yeah. I watched those because there were like these scenes where someone said something that I don't know that you would or wouldn't hear it in real life. But it reminds me of conversations I would have with my friends where someone would say something perfectly at just the fucking right moment.
Right.
That it just adds poignancy to the scene.
Nice.
Well, my wife thought I was an idiot because I was laughing so much during that fucking movie. And there's literally parts where dudes' faces are getting blown off, like literally right at point blank. And she's like, oh, I can't watch that. And I'm fucking giggling because it makes me fucking laugh. I don't know why.
Well, that's how Kill Bill is.
It's
like,
just so funny.
I sat down and watched the first half of Kill Bill with Bailey a few months ago, and like I'm like a little kid when she's hacking apart the crazy 88 because it's fucking hilarious, right. And that's the point.
And this is a this isn't a spoiler. I mean, it is kind of, but it has nothing to do with the story.
Why are you ruining this for me?
Sam gets his nuts blown off in the fucking movie, and wow. It's fucking so funny. His reaction to it all at the end, it's so fucking funny. It's
yeah,
so
funny.
You son of a bitch.
Spoiler alert, asshole.
I said spoiler alert.
Yeah, but we have to listen to you because we're on a show together.
It has nothing to do with anything.
You ruined everything.
Mm, yeah. Everything.
Nah. Not going to see it now.
I quit.
You already kicked John off.
I know. Oh, now it's just going to be Juan talking into the microphone.
I can't do that. Down. But that was pretty close to Star Wars, just because that's a
Star Wars.
Star Wars, because it's a different type of movie, and I really enjoyed the long dialogue.
We broke Matt now.
I put on here Terminator.
Terminator Genesis.
Terminator, because it was, that's a movie for me where I can remember.
That noise that you made, that's how I feel about that.
I can remember watching Terminator 2 fucking every day when I was a little kid and annoying the fucking shit out of my family. It's just one where I, like you know, that I grew up with that.
Sure.
You know, that's one that I can quote almost every line of that whole movie, and it's really good. And I think it got a lot of shit because you have preconceived notions before you go into the movie, and then you don't watch it.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do, you lying bastard.
I have not seen it, so.
So I thought it was really good. I went into it thinking.
It's terrible.
Right. I went into it thinking.
Gotten progressively worse after T2.
Oh, yeah. 3 was terrible. I think this was better than 3, though. I think it was really good. I'm not a huge fan of 1. Simply because it came out first before I was born. And then I watch 2 all the time.
That means he's not a fan of us because we came out before he was born, too.
I think 2 is better than 1, personally. That's my opinion.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. But that's a
solid personal opinion to have. Yeah. Like, I think most people think Terminator 2 is better than Terminator 1 because it is.
But Terminator 1 still is
fucking hands down.
I'm not saying it wasn't good. I just
Terminator movies
and groundbreaking for the time.
Right.
Yeah.
But those are mine. I have Fail. Fantastic Four was a fucking ginormous fail for me.
Still have not seen it.
I refuse. I refuse. That's the one comic book movie that I've like. I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to fucking watch it.
Yeah. Movies is the only category that I didn't have, like, really a worst movie in because I don't watch enough of them and I'm picky about the time spent on them that I don't really watch movies. I don't watch enough movies that I'm like, well, that was awful.
Right.
Because I'm like, oh, man, I got to go see this. I got to see this. And, like, I'm already, like you said, I'm not going to go out of my way to watch Terminator Genesis because, yes, I have preconceived notions about what it's going to be like.
Sure.
But I'm not going to go see it because there's all these other movies that I know
that you
for
wanna
a fact
see.
I want to see. Right. So.
But see, for me, like Fantastic Four, I knew I wouldn't pay the money to go see it in the theater. Right. But I knew I would see it. And that one I ended up watching on the internet just because I don't care. But now that I've got the basement done, it gives me a little bit. Like last night, I was down there fucking around, and they were watching The Good Dinosaur while I was down there. So it gives us a time to kind of bond a little bit more over movies that we aren't necessarily going to watch in the theater. So
nice.
As far as comic book movies go, I think that Marvel has set a standard.
Yeah.
They've set a standard. They said this is the bar. And for me, anything below that bar, I'm not interested in. Yep. And if it's way below that bar, I don't even. Because when Spider-Man, when X-Men and Spider-Man came out, you know, 99, 2000, I said, okay, I'm going to make sure that I see every comic book movie, even if it's a shitty one. So I saw Elektra. I saw fucking Green Lantern. Spirit of Vengeance. Like, I saw the shitty ones.
There was one moment in Spirit of Vengeance that's awesome when he possesses, like, that huge Earth Mover thing.
Yeah.
That's it. Just that scene. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. And then I checked out again. I was like, God damn it, Nicolas Cage, stop fucking up one of my favorite comic books.
After that, like, going into Fantastic Four, I was like, I'm not going to see this one.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to fucking do it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not worth it.
No.
It's, like I said, it's not worth the time. Like, if you're going to commit to, like, a couple hours of watching something, I'd rather watch something that I know I want to watch.
Right. Right.
Cool.
Are we reading people's opinions?
I sent out a tweet, but I didn't really. I got to read Dom's, but.
Mike Young said Mad Max.
Oh, that's nice. Right. I didn't get his stuff.
And then what did Dom say? Or Dom. What did Michael say anything else besides just Mad Max?
What a great movie for total action and pure movie enjoyment.
On that note, Dom only wrote Ant-Man. Okay. He didn't write anything else.
Well, see? Dom.
I'm just kidding. I don't give a fuck what you say. He wrote Ant-Man. He didn't say why or anything, but I would assume it's for the same reasons.
I assume he relates like to penis size.
Or he rides around on a tiny ant.
Or he rides around on a tiny ant.
That would be amazing, by the way.
Dude, the fucking Ant-Man pops that came in with him riding on the ant look amazing. They are unreal. How cool they are.
Antony.
Yeah.
Good job, Dom, for telling us Ant-Man.
Would he be Antonio? Because he's brown?
Who? Be Dominic.
Dom.
Antonio.
Oh, yeah, because that's the name of the ant, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would be Dom.
Yeah, that was a fail.
Star Wars?
I think if you bend the bill of your hat, it'll help.
No, it won't. Yes. It won't.
I agree.
It's not pushing so hard against the
conformity. I've got a small brain anyway, so it's not going to help.
Om Nam Shiva. Om Nam Shiva. Om Nam Shiva. Kalima Shakti.
That was a terrible movie. No, it was not. I don't give a fuck what any of you say.
No.
I didn't like it. It wasn't the best. It's the worst.
No, it's not the worst.
Really?
Except for the new one, it's the worst.
No.
So for me, it goes 3.
Except for the one that's worse than it, it's the worst.
3, 1, 2, 4.
Yeah.
Speaking of, they had giant fucking ants in that movie, too.
I would say 3, 1, 2, 4. Yeah. That's valid. Yeah. I love Last Crusade. Last Crusade is my fucking favorite fucking Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah.
The next one is going to be good, too.
Because it has to be, because it's every other one.
Yeah, it has to be good.
Every other one is awesome.
They're making another one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With him?
They didn't want to go out on fucking aliens, bro.
I hope the mic picks up all of Matt's groaning.
His fucking whininess.
I swear to God, in Star Wars, JJ had to have a fucking cattle prod sticking him in the ass to make him enunciate a little bit.
Right.
Because he actually came across with some audible dialogue instead of fucking...
Do you listen to HBO?
Yes.
Hollywood Babylon?
Yes.
When Ralph
and once
does
they start doing that, I noticed. Jesus, this motherfucker he just mumbles.
Big rock. It's fucking
funny. Chewy world.
But he looked really good in Star Wars. I think he looked really good.
Yeah, he looked fuckable.
I think he did a good job.
Yeah, fuck him.
Wow.
Hey, I'd fuck Leia.
His throat flaps? You'd fuck his throat flaps?
Dude, I'd just squish just him together.
As long as there's something flapping, you know?
I'm not picky, man.
Oh, shit.
I find an orifice and I put it in it.
Be like, I'm going to shoot first, Han. Hey, what are we doing next?
Comic book.
Comics.
Oh, man.
I don't know what's going on.
Comics.
Comic books.
Comic books.
I like to read the funny books. Oh, man. So do I get to start again?
Yeah.
With all 77
works?
Of
That's
your
list.
Because I have like a ridiculous list. Fuck you guys. So number 5, I put Carver, A Paris Story. I've only read the first issue of it, but like talking with Christopher Hill on the show and like reading the first issue, it reminds me so much of like the French like action comics that I really, really like that I just... I'm willing to say after issue 1, I'm sold. Like, I want to read all of it. I love the idea. So, Carver, number 5. Number 4, I put Headlopper. It's this, like, ridiculous, like, barbarian book where this barbarian has the head of, like, a witch in a bag, and it's really sarcastic with her. It's always talking shit to him, and it's fucking hilarious. It's a really, really cool book. Number 3, I put Starve. It was... Five book mini?
It's coming out.
I know, the first...
Six, I think, was the five or six.
It's about a game show.
Yeah, like you liked it a lot, I can tell.
Well, I just can't remember how many there are, Juan. I fucking loved it. Fucking suck my dick.
His tiny Ant-Man penis.
Suck my teeny tiny Ant-Man dick. It's like about a cooking game show, but like in this weird dystopian future, and like the characters and stuff I really dug.
It actually sounded really good.
It's a really cool book. Number 2, Harrow County. Holy shit, that book is so good. Oh, fuck you, Juan.
He got me the collection, too. He caught me up, I think. I just haven't been able to read it.
It is so awesome. It's so good. It's literally the third time in my life I've sent a letter.
Wow.
To a comic book. Oh. Like, I wrote out two ghost stories about my grandparents, and
I sent them
a letter that was like, thanks for being on the show. Holy shit, I fucking love your comic book. Here's my two ghost stories. Like, so, super stoked about that. Then my number one pick, and this is super
weird. He set his fucking book down. This is serious.
No, I just don't need to hold it anymore, because I don't need to read it anymore, is Images Island. So it's an anthology book that's put together pretty much exactly the same way that, like, Heavy Metal is put together, where it's, like, these really weird, like, science fiction, fantasy, horror sort of stories. It's everything that Heavy Metal should have evolved into. Like, it should have remained fresh. Like, if you look at the cover of a Heavy Metal that came out, like, this last month, it's got the names of people that have been making stories in Heavy Metal since, like, the 70s. So this, instead of doing that, has pulled on, like, the fresh, like, newer books. It has the dude that does multiple Warheads in it. It's got Emma Rios in it. Kelly Sue DeConnick has, like, an article in one of them. And there's also this really cool sensibility of, like, actually writing, like, articles in it. Like, there's a story about people that are transplanting their minds into bodies that they feel like match them better. Right. So, like, a woman that wants to be a man that feels less bulky and more effeminate, he wants to be in a smaller body. And then that was over two issues, the story. And then after the second issue, there was an article written by the doctor that Emma Rios consulted on or with to do the story, where he describes the potential possibility of actually doing that and the science that would be required that we don't have to do it. So it's like everything that Heavy Metal should be but hasn't ever evolved into. Like, it's just a really, really solid book. Like, great art, great stories, great everything about it. Fucking love Island.
Nice.
Yeah. Five issues out. They're like $8 a piece. Totally worth it.
Marika's picked up Island, and she's been raving about it.
Dude,
it's
so good. Like, nice. And it's so under the radar.
Yeah.
Like, in a way that it really should not be. Like, people should be like, holy shit. Like, the same way people lash onto, like, Saga or Shudder or, you know, some of the other, like, kind of avant-garde, like, Image stuff that became super huge, Island should be like that. But for some reason, it's not. And I think part of it's the cover price.
Yeah.
Like, it's $8 every other month. Sure. So.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, I only have two because I didn't know we were doing top five. But Harrow County is also number two for me. I can't recommend that book enough to people who come in looking for something that's different. You know, it's just, it's. I think it's better than Witches. I'll say that.
I think so, yeah.
It's been a long time since I've read a horror comic book that really freaked me out, and Harrow County does that. I mean, it's the creepy mix of, I think, the era in which it's being told. I think it's the creepy mix of it being in the South, you know, and the fact that the writer has such a connection with that area and that kind of, you know, it just drives it home. And it freaks me the fuck out.
The
and I love
of it. Too.
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Look is so earthy. And
right.
Like,
it's kind of cartoony, but at the same time,
it seems so connected, like, with nature,
right,
in a way that, right, like, things don't really connect that way,
right,
when you don't live in the country, kind, right, of thing. Oh, no. God damn it.
I need to interject because I made a mistake. I forgot to tell you Albie's movie, and it was Star Wars 2. I just wanted to make sure I corrected that.
Okay. Thanks.
As another Star Wars. As another side note, if people want to hear Colin Bunn and Tyler Crook, they should listen to episode 30 and 29.
Yep. Yeah,
absolutely.
Talk about Harrow County.
Yep.
I made a strange connection as to why I love Harrow County, why it creeps me the fuck out.
Sure.
And I think it has something to do with seeing The Departed when I was a Departed, Deliverance when I was a kid.
Okay.
And connecting. There's a certain spookiness to the backwoods, the,
yes,
swamps in the South. Like, I'm familiar with the mountains. Like, I've being, right, from Colorado, I've gone to the mountains my whole life. I'm familiar with the,
right,
mountains. I feel a connection and kind of at home in the Rockies. And so there's nothing weird or strange,
sure,
or freaky or spooky about
it. Not spooky.
John Denver was full of shit.
I can fix that for you with a Reddit thread, by the way.
But the idea of, like, the real backwoods, where there are people who really have tried to disconnect from society,
yeah,
who live out there and have their own kind of set of rules, and kind of maybe there's some folk tale and some myth there that I don't know about.
Right.
The dude who shot up Planned Parenthood, he was one of those people who fucking just secluded secluded himself off here in Colorado in the mountains. No electricity, no nothing, and that's the way
to the point where his neighbors were like, well, we don't talk to him because that guy's weird.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's, and that's kind of how I am with it too. There's like a certain sensibility of like, and you get this in like Lovecraft fiction too. Like, I think everywhere, I think everywhere you go, there's those people that like push themselves away and push society away, and they go hide out, and it's always in the wilderness. It's always somewhere that's like inaccessible and difficult to get to, and Harrow County like picks at that scab. Yep. Like, what's hiding behind that like dude that lives in the woods?
Right.
And is it just a dude that lives in the woods, or is it a Hank?
Right.
You know, and it's, oh man, Harrow County fucking rules.
Here, and this is the weird reason why I would put Harrow County above witches as well. And this is the dumbest fucking reason. Because I think the writing is real, like, captures your creepiness. But
sure.
I think, and you're going to, you might like this, and it's, God, I feel like a dick for saying it, but the splatter,
the art,
cover of Jock, well, the art is good, but it just, it takes me out of it just enough that I don't get as creeped out.
The splatter stuff is super fucking distracting to me. It's like the only thing I don't like about witches. When I'm reading it, there's times where it's really hard to read the picture of what's going on because of that weird splatter overlay that Jock does. Like,
and Harrow, it's just
so
it's
clean.
Right there. I'm in the panel.
Like, but when he wants to hide something, he hides it with shadow.
Yes,
not
exactly.
With like the Minotaur devil thing.
Right.
How he like is just, he's hulking and you see his eyes, but you can't really see him. Oh, it's fucking great.
It's fantastic.
And it might be a TV show.
Yeah, exactly. My number one pick for comics is Low, and I don't know if anybody here reads that except for me. Okay. So Low is it's a sci-fi dystopian thing where humans have basically killed the Earth, and so they retreat underwater, and they create cities underwater because that's really the only place that's habitable, even though it's not habitable. And there's this, I can't remember what the name of the opposing faction is, but they're basically like underwater pirates. And so there's this guy and his wife, and they've got three kids, two daughters and a son. And the son doesn't really have anything to do with him. He's a helmsman, so he takes the ship out and he patrols the area and he fights the underwater pirates and stuff. And they come upon a group of the pirates, and the pirates kill the husband. And they take the two daughters and they leave his wife for dead. And so it's the story of her. Everybody, you know, reading the first issue, you'd think it would be the story of this helmsman and kind of what he does. But it's the story of his wife and how she's fighting to find another planet that's suitable for all of humankind to go inhabit, while also dealing with the fact that her son doesn't want anything to do with her. And it's a complete and total fuck up. And her two daughters that she hasn't seen since they were like 5 and 6 that were taken away by pirates. And it's just the art is spectacular. It's written by Rick Remender. The art is by Greg Ticini, and it's I recommended it to Mel because it's got that very French intricate detail stuff like she would like. Beautiful. It's just a beautiful book. It's a great story, and it's one that I can't get enough of. It's an Image title, and it's released. You know, they do 6 issues and take a break, and then they do 6 issues and take a break, and it kills me because I want it to come out all the time.
Right.
It's that good. But that's my favorite for 2015 is Low. It's killer.
My number one Image title, his number one Image title.
Number two, both Dark Horse backups, which is cool.
My number two is The Walking Dead.
Image title.
I just am so entrenched in that world with the book and with the show, and I love it. I mean, I love being able to get out of my life and follow Rick and watch him be war torn and getting older and you know his fucking weird little hand, and it's just really really good. I mean, you guys are really good at talking about that kind of stuff, but I just love it. It just brings me in, and it's one book where when you get me my fucking 50 bucks, because I don't see you very often, it goes to the very top.
Sure.
Because I want to read it. I want to see what the fuck's going on. My number one book, and maybe it's because I haven't read Harrow County, is Witches. I love the art.
Yeah.
I love the art. It's not to me, it doesn't distract me because it's one book where it's so dark. It helps pull me in. And I don't get that from a lot of other books that I read. Is somebody trying to break in or what?
This was playing the bass drum.
But I love the story. I love the art. It's super, super dark. It's a lot different than most things I read. I think last year I picked like a Justice League, which is really good. I love the Darkseid thing that's going on right now, or for me right now, because I haven't caught up. But this is just head over heels better than anything I read this whole year. And it's I love it.
I don't think anybody would argue that it's a fucking phenomenal book.
Yeah.
You know, talking about The Walking Dead, like, you know, the way I whittled mine down to five was I wrote down like 15 books. And that was one of the hard ones to cut. The Walking Dead, the run that it's in right now, is phenomenally cool. Like, nice. I mean, just the stuff that's going on with, like, Negan and Rick and, like, the Whispers and all that shit. Like, god damn it, that book's awesome. It goes to the top of my pile when I pick it up, too.
I think a close third would have been Darth Vader. I love that run of that whole series. It was really good too. I don't know why. It was my favorite out of all of the Star Wars stuff. And I haven't read Shattered Empire, right? Is what it was. I haven't caught up on that yet.
So since Harrow County has already been discussed, I'm not gonna talk about that. I will say that my number two is Sandman Overture.
Okay.
I was in my top 10 of comics of all time is Sandman. I think that Neil Gaiman, if there are two comic book writers that I would put in the pantheon of ultimate, you know, the comic book writers that I connect with, I'm not discounting Stan Lee, you know, I'm not discounting Simon, you know, or any of the Marv Wolfman or any of the staples of 70s and 80s comic writers. I just don't connect with the superheroes as much anymore. So for me, Gaiman and Moore are up there in the pantheon of great writers, and his novels are amazing as well. But Overture, when I read Sandman, I always said, like, I wonder what the fuck he was doing before he got trapped. I wonder what Morpheus was doing before he got trapped in this world, before he had to put all the pieces back together. What was going on then? And he went into that. He answered that question for me. And the J.H. Williams did the art, and
awesome.
It's fucking mind-blowing. You talk about, like, Mobius-esque, just incredible dreams.
And, like, a complete disregard for, like, the setup of how, like, panels and pages should be. Just completely, you know, I have this much space to make the picture, so that's what I'm using. Like, that's all that matters. Like, it's unbelievably well done.
And they did it, you know, it was a six issue, you know, it was a mini, but they released, I think, it started in 2013 and it just finally wrapped up in September because it took him, J.H., so long to draw that fucking book. But the end product was just phenomenal, art and story-wise.
Nice.
So that's my number two. And my number one is East of West.
Yeah.
Every time that fucking book comes out, I'm just, I connect with it. When I was a kid, I didn't watch John Wayne. That was not my introduction to Westerns. My introduction to Westerns was Clint Eastwood and Sergio Leone. They're very much gray, amoral characters. And those were the ones that I loved. And eventually I saw, you know, John Wayne's and Sam Peckinpah's, which was another good one. But I always kind of – my Western favorite place was the spaghetti Westerns.
Sure.
And this book is that with the dystopic – sci-fi spin on it that is,
and like the weird like religious biblical stuff and the Four Horsemen, like
I think I'm two or three issues behind what's out right now, but I just read the one where the lady who's the president of the U.S. sends the
she keeps getting
bodies, you know, heads in boxes from the Endless Nation and stuff like that.
It's
just
one I collect, but I haven't read.
Weird, dude. It's so good.
I don't have time, man. I don't have time.
I feel your pain. I have two short
And they're the epic story that they're telling with his son, you know, being the beast of the apocalypse, and the fact that he's, you know, he's kind of brainwashed into what's when he's walking around with the balloon. Yeah.
Makes the choice. Everything starts to change. You're like, okay, they've made him into a non-empathetic thing,
right?
But he's moving in a different direction now.
I love the idea that when he's walking around with the balloon, like what he sees is all like hearts and flowers and lollipops.
Yes.
And shit. But what's really going on is like truly terrible shit.
When he's like, playing fetch with that fucking crazy.
Yeah. It's like a, it's like looks like he sees a big mouse with a big with a little fucking mouse.
Right.
And it's like a fucking giant like horrific Satan dog thing. Like
tentacled. Ugh.
Dude, that, it's a super solid book.
Wow.
What's the big takeaway? Indie comics.
Yeah, dude, man. It's absolutely
you can't they're
the big two are putting out like it's just
except for Dom. His favorite of the year was was the Justice League.
Fucking ruiner.
Especially the Darkseid storyline.
I heard that was pretty good.
I mean, seeing Batman in a kind of godlike position is really cool. Because I'm reading it too. I really enjoyed it. It's different for Batman. I've never seen him kind of like that and love the power that he gets from being in that position. It's cool. I like it.
Mike Young also said witches. Great modern day horror story that will have me pledge all of you.
Shit.
So Marika said Wayward, and I haven't. I've read the first issue of Wayward, and it's a really interesting fucking story.
I've read the first trade. It's a really, really cool book. And having what is his name?
Nick
Fury.
Shit. The guy does the back matter.
Yeah, the guy that does the back matter.
That was one of my favorite interviews because of how detailed.
He's so smart, and like so much of the book is like embroiled in that world of like yokai and all that stuff. It's a really, really good book. Super solid.
You'll have to put his name in there because I can't remember.
Okay. Albie doesn't read a ton of comic books, but he likes tie-ins, so he apparently read a Back to the Future tie-in. I don't know anything about
Back
it. But
is he reading the Back to the Future ongoing?
He might be. I'd have to ask him. I don't know.
They just announced that because it was supposed to be a mini, but it's been so popular on IDW that they announced that it's going to be
ongoing. That must be what he was
maybe
reading.
I'll ask him for sure.
I do want to say that if the new Vertigos had given me some
time. Yeah, I was
going to
ask you about that.
If I had some time, because they all came out during school, so I just haven't. I've read the first issues.
Survivors Club came real close to being on my list. Like, Survivors Club, really great, solid Vertigo title. Real weird, very horror, but, like, weirdly technology-driven. Like, almost nothing I've read in a long time that really just sparked my interest and, like, maintained it. So,
see, they've all done that for me. So, Unfollow, Clean Room, I really was intrigued by Clean Room.
I haven't read that yet. I have the first issue in my box.
They've all intrigued me, but I don't have enough for me to say this is great.
Yeah, exactly.
I just can't. I think once a story arc, and if they're going to do that, and I don't. Vertigo doesn't necessarily follow the Image.
Right.
You know, they don't do the
taking
six.
Taking the breaks.
Wrap it up in six to complete a story arc. But if they do something like that where I can get six inches in.
And
if I get 6 inches in, I'm having a good day.
Apparently, so is Marika.
That's awesome. Me too, because I have less than 6 inches.
Do you need more?
Pushing it
Do you
in
need
extra.
More?
He's fucking
pushing it
the
back.
Come on, Dick Fat, go in.
The fucking balls are an extra 1 or 2 inches.
Dick Fat. Pushing the Dick Fat back to get an extra half an inch.
Hashtag Dick Fat.
Hashtag Dick Fat. On the Dick Fat note.
Hold on.
You go ahead. Finish.
I do want to mention Hellboy in Hell. That his return, his final return, you know, it's... I'm happy and I'm sad because it's going to be the end for, as far as we know, either forever or for a fucking while.
Right.
And then the last one is The Goon Once Upon a Hard Time, because that's the end of The Goon, from what we know. So a lot of a lot of the great
indie staples like Hellboy and The Goon and stuff are closing
down. That's another one that I collect, but I haven't caught up on in such a long time.
So you said so this is the end. This is the last.
That's the
story.
Last one.
So you had a worst. Comic book, yes?
I didn't.
Oh, I had a worst comic book.
You're the only one.
Because I read enough that stuff gets put into my pool that I think looks interesting, and it ends up being not interesting. Sons of the Devil.
Yes.
Holy
yes.
shit, dude. Like, the premise is so good.
Yeah.
The art is really solid, but what a flat book. Like, it just goes nowhere and falls so flat, and I felt... I felt really bad because I really liked the idea, and like I can't remember if it was the artist or writer responded to me on Twitter when I said, you know, I'm really not enjoying this book. he said, wait till you get.
Well, I'm not enjoying your fucking podcast.
He said, wait till you get to the end of the story arc. It's gonna, you know, blow your mind. And I got to the end of the story arc, and I was like, with what? With it just fucking sitting on its thumb and doing nothing? Like,
I hope you didn't respond to him that way.
No. It just spun its wheels and kind of did nothing. I was way more intrigued with like the backstory of the whole thing, with like the devil cult, but it never went anywhere. And it was really sad to me because I love the idea. I love the art. It just fell super, super flat. I disliked it.
I can't. There's something that I think I dropped the Fuse, which was an Image book. And it was I wanted to like it, but it was like Law and Order on a space station that wasn't, there was no alien. Yeah, I like, you know, if it's going to be a sci-fi story, have some aliens in there. Not just a weird ship. I dropped
Ant-Man.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was like, that was my lone Marvel.
After the reboot, or, yeah. Okay.
That was my lone Marvel I still kind of held on to and was sure. Like, all right, I gotta keep one Marvel. And I was like, nope.
I think I've dropped almost every Marvel and DC except for like Constantine,
yep.
Batman,
yep.
Yeah.
Swamp Thing is coming out again, yes. So I have to get it.
I'm so excited.
But like Marvel, I think literally the only two things I'm getting are Black Knight and Weird World.
Yeah.
Oh, and the Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Weird World, I still have Weird World. I'm enjoying Weird World.
Nice.
The Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D., I just like the idea that it's kind of like DC, like the response to DC's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
right.
You know.
So which was a bigger let... Well, I guess we don't... We're doing... Never mind.
No, ask me.
So say, which was a bigger letdown, Secret Wars or Convergence?
Secret Wars.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, I like, what the fuck going on?
At least Convergence took a month. You know, they did what they did to transfer to L.A., but it was a month and it's over, and now they're back to doing Vertigo stuff and, you know, all of the Black Canary is really cool and stuff like that, but Secret Wars isn't even fucking over yet.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? There's so many more tie-ins than I could ever, thousands of dollars to put it all, to get the whole thing really into perspective. Fuck you.
Right.
So here's my thing, is because I don't really buy a lot of the crossover stuff, I like Secret Wars a little more. Because Convergence really only had like one title for me, like the Swamp Thing Convergence. And I enjoyed it okay. I liked the idea of going to like the Vampire Bat Land, you know,
sure.
It was fun. But like Where Monsters Dwell, super fun book. Ghost Racers, super fun book. Weird World, super fun book. That I didn't have to buy any of the Secret War stuff to really know what was going on and enjoy it.
Sure.
So I collected those three and that's it. And I really like it. So for me, Convergence was just kind of like it happened.
Sure.
Secret Wars, though, is kind of the same thing, is it's still happening.
Right.
See, I would get those books, and there'd be a page, or there'd be something about what's going on that I'm like...
No idea.
I this first page, or page and a half...
Of text, like three paragraphs of text, yeah.
It means nothing to me. So you put this in this story... And it just, I skip over this.
Sure.
And to me, that's like a waste of, like, you're trying to tie this into this major event, but there's no fucking point.
Where Monsters Dwell, I think they gave up on that after the first issue. Like, because it has absolutely nothing to do with Secret Wars. It's just a Phantom Eagle story.
Sure.
Like, and it's super fun. It's got those awesome fucking Frank Cho covers.
Right.
Like, I mean, I like Where Monsters Dwell a lot.
Well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back with the next two, and then we could take another break and come back with Old Man.
Old Man. Sounds good.
This is Ross.
This is Heath.
From a Half-Life Place in the West. This is from Thinking Outside the Long Box. A very great broadcast.
Okay. We're recording again.
And we're back!
That was in sync.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, that kind of looks like one of those guns from Mars Attacks.
I have literally been wanting to pull the trigger on the fart gun, like, the whole time.
It's pretty awesome.
So we're going to do best TV show and best trailer.
Okay.
And then we'll break again to do Old Man, and that'll best be our last two segments. Yeah.
So
Gabe, you're up.
Since
you're first.
I have the endless list... TV first, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Best TV show.
So, number 5, new season of South Park, fucking hilarious.
I hate that show.
Dude, the new season...
I've heard that from a couple people.
The new season of South Park is really good. It's super funny.
It's probably one of the funniest shows ever created.
Ever.
4, Daredevil, unbelievably good show, super, super fun. like really intense. It has that like Asian action movie thing going for it that I really like. Number three, also a Netflix show, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. That show makes me laugh my ass off, like from beginning to end.
He literally has no ass.
I have no ass. It's gone. Left it all in John's toilet.
Hey, and it didn't go down again.
Number two for me is The Flash. I like Flash a lot better than I like Arrow at this point. It's way more comic.
I still like Arrow.
It's got that, like, you know, Creature of the Week thing going for it. Like when they showed the dude shark, what's his name?
King Shark.
King Shark. I was so excited to see him again in another episode, and it hasn't happened yet. I was super bummed, but that's okay.
I love The Flash. It's a really good Flash show. Really good, super fun show. It's one of those shows that you can also watch with people.
The kids. Yeah, and I watch it with my kids all the time. Like, it's awesome. Like, it's an event in our house. Like,
nice.
We get dinner, we sit down in front of the TV with our dinner, and we all watch Flash together. So, you know, it's awesome. My number one show, and this is so awesome that I got to come full circle with this, is Gotham. I absolutely fucking love Gotham. Like,
don't ruin anything from the new season because I haven't seen anything.
There's only one tiny spoiler that I will give, and it's not even really a spoiler.
He dies.
Nygma and Penguin end up being roommates, and really? They do the best.
It's fucking they so do awesome.
The best like odd couple routines. It's so good. The whole show is so awesome. Like, I mean, Theo Gallivan is the main villain. Super awesome. Like, Bruce becomes, like, a little bit more Batsy. So awesome. Like,
and I love the fact that you've seen the first one,
the
right?
First season.
So at the end of the first season, they find the Batcave. I love that he didn't go full, like, Batman. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's you like still a
don't
room.
You still don't explore that all that much yet, which is cool.
And it's not like a Batcave. It's just like a secret office.
Right, right.
You know, but it's so cool. Like, you know, Lucius Fox is in it a little bit more. He's awesome. You know, you get more into Alfred's backstory, and Alfred is like a fucking turbo badass through like the whole show. Like, just it was when I saw the previews for it before the show even came out, all I did was relentlessly shit on it. Like, I thought it looked right. So bad. Like, it looked so terrible.
And now you look like a douchebag.
Dude, I always look like a douchebag. with a face like this. Made for radio. Not even made for radio, made for podcasting. But it's a fucking amazing show. I absolutely love Gotham.
Nice.
So
my pick is the only one that I've seen all the way through this season. But we've watched a fair amount of Gotham. We're not caught up at all yet, and it's killer. iZombie is kicking ass. It's a great. It's not gonna change your life kind of show, but it's
like
a great
CSI but with zombie.
It's a great little time waster, and it's funny, and it's, you know, it's unique. It's something that's kind of different. But my pick for TV is this year's season of The Strain, which I don't know.
I think you're the only one who watches
that
it.
Last year too.
Well, did I? No, I think I picked Flash last year.
Oh,
I talked about it a little, but
I picked up a copy of the first trade of The Strain on your suggestion for Ashton. He loved.
Did he dig it?
Oh yeah,
good. This season, it's even better. It's building on what they laid down as groundwork in the first season. You know, the Master got really really badly wounded by one of the Abraham Setrakian, one of the good guys at the end of last season, and so he takes on another host body, and the dude's badass. It's just, it's great. It's great horror. It's great vampire stuff. This season, everybody's looking for this book called The Oxido Lumen, which is basically a tome that's bound in silver, and I think it's a religious artifact that basically says this is how you eradicate vampires. And so the vampires are trying to get it to keep it out of the hands of the humans so they can't kill them. And the humans are trying to get it so they can kill all the vampires. And so it kind of relies around that plot point, which is really cool.
Damn it,
so,
I need to watch that show. I don't know why. I don't watch it.
I don't know. It's good.
I don't. I genuinely don't.
Take a peek.
It has all of my favorite things.
Right.
Monsters, Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, exactly.
Monsters.
Right.
I'm sure there's a boob or two.
No.
I mean, not like exposed. But
there's definitely boobs.
Side boob, maybe. I like those.
I have a lot of shows tied for third place.
Okay.
So fucking Arrow, The Flash, Doctor Who is still amazing. I watched the Christmas special just yesterday, and River Song. I love everything about that show. It's awesome.
Those are all tied for third?
Those are all tied for third.
Okay.
Tied for second are The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. Fear was, because I came into it a lot different than a lot of people, it was really, really good for me. I loved everything about it. I like knowing, you know, prior to what actually was the downfall of humanity, what happens, and, you know, what happens with the military and all that shit. And The Walking Dead just delivers all of the time. Every week is really good for me.
Sitting around the house kind of talking about this yesterday, Bailey said that in her top five is for sure Fear the Walking Dead.
It was, for me, it was a perfect intro to something that I already really loved and something that I didn't know I needed until it came out.
Sure.
Number one for me, though, is something I've been raving about for the past like three episodes, is Jessica Jones. It is fucking nice. Amazing. It is the best, for me, the best Marvel thing to come out yet. It's just so good. It touches on so many different things when it comes to, you know, slaves and rape and it's just a really, really, it's one thing I couldn't stop watching. Like I can usually be like, okay, new episode, I'll wait till next week, but this one I had to consume as quickly as I could because it was so good.
Nice.
So this is Marika's favorite, and though I haven't finished it yet, mainly because finals and then fucking Christmas happened, so I just haven't had a chance to finish it off, but everything I've seen thus far, I liked it. I don't know that I like it better than Daredevil. I don't know that I like it worse than Daredevil,
right.
You know, but it is fantastic, and she's just enamored. You know, she went and picked up the alias trade, yep. And she's it's much different than I thought it was going to be. And like, we talk about like a detective story that's not procedural, like it's not a cop drama without, and it has no procedure, which was refreshing. But there's still a, you know, this idea that she has to use her mind, but like her like level of intelligence is much more. It's like a gut feeling, like informs how she starts to approach solving a problem or looking for something or figuring out a clue is much more comes from her gut. That's really, it's kind of Columbo-esque, the way Columbo kind of did things.
Nice.
Man, that is like the highest fucking praise for a detective show. I fucking loved Columbo.
Absolutely.
It's very, it touches, not, it, you know, it's not, again, it touches on that, but it doesn't, it's not a direct ripoff from that. And it's its own fun, cool thing. And my familiarity with David Tennant was always as the 10th Doctor, 11th Doctor, whatever, as one of the doctors.
As a
doctor. So to see him be a bad guy and be a motherfucker of a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, just not so much, you know, not like as powerful as like a Joker, you know, not like an evil incarnate, but just like, you're an asshole. Fuck you, dude. Fuck you, man. He just pisses you off as you're watching the show. The more he acts like he's a guy who gets whatever he wants. And so when someone tells him, like, you can't just have what you want, he's like, really? Why the fuck not? I always get what I want.
And and this is something I said last – I think it was last time or the time before. But I think at the beginning of how he came to be who he is, he struggled with his power. He struggled with – you know, if I say something, are you doing it because you want to do it, or are you doing it because that's my gift? You know what I mean? So I think he says in the show, if I tell somebody to go, you know, go kiss their own ass, you know, they're going to physically go try and do that now for however long until it wears off, you know? So he has to try and be careful with what he actually says to people in the beginning. And I think he kind of fights that until he just is like, fuck it. I'm just gonna go do whatever I want.
There's a scene in a cop station that is one of the cooler scenes.
Oh yeah.
Between Daredevil, like one of the real striking Daredevil scenes is when Fisk, you know, is in the car door.
Oh yeah. Jesus,
that's a scene that you're like, holy shit. This scene in the cop station was just as, it had the same kind of gravitas where you really start to understand what the fuck this guy's capable of.
And it's cool. I can't, I mean, it's one of those ones that I just haven't had time to watch.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
I really, really want to now. I mean, when you talked about it last episode, I was like, man, I got to go watch it before we do our best of, and I just haven't had a chance to do it. I went and watched Star Wars instead.
That's what happens.
Well, that's good.
That's what happens when you work commission work.
Yeah. Side note, opening a comic book store takes all of your fucking time. To watch movies, TV, even read fucking comic books.
Well, you need to just put a DVD player here, so while you're putting comics away, you can just slip a movie in.
Just slip it in. Just the tip.
Slip the tip in. Just for a second. That's a big tip.
So that one's not my favorite. My favorite of this year is Better Call Saul.
Nice.
It was fucking awesome. My favorite show that I've ever seen is Breaking Bad. Hands down, if you tell me, oh, there was this plot hole or this bad point, you're wrong. They did not fuck up in that movie. They're in that series from beginning to end. They did not fuck up once. Vince Gilligan, and he's even said, I knew exactly what everything was going to be. I knew the beginning to the end and everything in the middle. I knew how it all connected. I knew what I wanted to do. He left. I don't know. I can't say that. It seems like they left who Saul Goodman was open enough that they could explore that and really find out. So here's this piece of shit scumbag lawyer that has no conscience. You're like, you're not born that way, are you? No, maybe not. You find out, no, he wasn't born that way. Now you're starting to see how he became Saul Goodman. Please. And it's fucking fascinating. And it's as good. Like the first season of Breaking Bad had me like that. The first season of Better Call Saul, just as good.
Nice.
It was another one of those shows when they announced that they were going to do it. I was just like, really? I don't see how that could ever work. And it ended up being like, I mean, I think I've seen the first episode of it and was like, oh, yeah, this is really good.
Awesome.
I had a really hard time with Breaking Bad because I watched a lot of guys go through like addiction with meth. So I've seen like the first like two seasons and then it got just like way too real and intense for me. And then I watched like the last half of the last season and that's it. But I know what happens in the middle. It's all horrible. Like that's all that matters.
See, I think I love Breaking Bad because there were so many things that I related to on a personal level.
Yeah.
What happened in that I was like, okay, you know, I knew, like, it's easy, like, when you see movies, if there's something that happens in a movie that you've had personal experience with, it's hard to buy it. It's hard to buy it and take it for what it is, especially if they don't do a good job pulling it off.
Right.
But in Breaking Bad, they did such a great job of relating, like, what it would be like, even for people who, you know, these actors have never done any of that kind of shit, but they portrayed it so well throughout all of Breaking Bad. I was like, yeah, that's what it is.
It's really interesting. The guy that plays Jesse Pinkman was on an episode of Top Gear that I just watched last night, you know, doing the star in A Reasonably Priced Car, and the guy that does the interviews, whose name escapes me, asked him, you know, he's like, so in the UK, we don't really have methamphetamines. He goes, what is crystal meth? And, you know, the Paul, whatever his name is, goes, honestly, I don't know. Like, I don't know what it is. I just know that it makes you do horrible things. Like, you know, this is what it does to you. This is how it affects you. But I couldn't tell you, like, what it actually is.
Sure.
So, I mean, so that's a testament to the writing, is here's somebody that's literally had no actual experience with, like, crystal meth or methamphetamine or however you want to put it. And he sells it, like, to the point where I had to stop watching it because it was way too close to watching like my friends go through it, you know? So, yeah.
Got serious there for a second.
You did.
Sorry.
It's all right. You know, you can lighten that up?
No.
Yes.
Jesus, what is wrong with us?
Dom said Flash. Dom said The Flash.
Super talkative.
Mike Young said Fear the Walking Dead. He says he thinks they nailed it with how fast it would start and have people being stupid to what's going on around them as the world falls apart.
I agree with him. Great show. Albie says Mr. Robot, which looked good, but I never had the time to watch it.
I have no idea looked what that good is. Though.
It's a USA, I think, show.
Yeah. I believe he's like super smart or something like that. I can't remember. I had to show you a trailer. It looked good. Yeah, I just never had the chance to watch it.
I've never even heard of it. Like
they had to put off one of the episodes because of the Paris attacks, because it had to do with terrorism or some shit. So it hadn't been too long that it's been out.
Huh. From what I gather, it's about a guy who's a tech guy that basically causes like the collapse of a financial institution digitally and all the ramifications of that. I don't know. Huh. It's something that I wanted to watch. And I know that I think they're having a marathon of it today or tomorrow.
Well,
or
if it's on
like
USA,
there
will be several marathons of it.
Yeah.
I'm watching the Mythbusters marathon right now.
Nice.
It's fucking a 10-day event.
No, you're not. You're watching us record a podcast right now.
Right now. When will then be now?
Tomorrow.
Soon.
Today. So, best trailer? Best trailer?
All right.
Trailers.
Here's my list again.
This one's a top 10 because they were only a minute long.
No. I actually crossed one off to add one on, so I'll put that one at the bottom now. In number six.
You're a power bottom?
Number six.
I put the Legends of Tomorrow trailer, which is for a TV show.
Yeah. It was actually
Holy
really
shit.
Good.
Like, every time I see it, like, I played it for my kids and I played it for my wife. Every time I see it, it just gets me excited.
Vandal fucking Savage. That's amazing that they're going to take that on. That's...
It's cool. He's in the crossover.
He's in the crossover.
He's fucking good.
It's awesome. Like, it's really good.
I'm
super stoked to watch it. You got a lot of homework to
do. Star Trek Beyond was my number five.
Yeah.
I like the Star Trek movies. The new J.J. Abrams ones. So, my only problem, the new one's directed by Justin Lin, who directed Fast and Furious. So, I'm a little nervous.
He's also, I think he's on to direct the Aquaman movie, which is interesting.
I think my big thing is, now that I listen to you guys talk a little bit more, I don't really pay attention to who makes and writes and does these things. I mean, I know, like, J.J. Abrams and shit because he's a really big name, but I don't go into it like, oh, this guy did it, so it's going to be terrible. I just fucking watch it. Like, that's very easy for me to do.
Oh, no, Justin Lin makes movies that I don't typically like, so...
I'm interested to see it, because if he does have the reins of one of my personal favorite superheroes, I want to make sure they're in good hands.
See,
makes sense.
I think that we've been reading comics. Right. So I tend to, like, someone has, whatever their style is, I tend to, like,
fixate on that person.
Right.
So then I'm not so too much concerned about the actor. I'm like, all right, who's making
it? Sure.
What's their aesthetic going to be? Because that's what I'm going to want to be. It's what I'm going to want to see. Like, I know that George Miller has an aesthetic that I like. Like, this, you know, chains and spikes and fucking dystopic, post-apocalyptic shit. Right. So I'm interested in most things that George Miller does. Ridley Scott typically has a very kind of action-oriented... Like personal take on the way he films movies, whether it's Alien or Gladiator. So I tend to
Prometheus.
Like, I tend to like, not even.
I was waiting for it. I was like, why'd you even bring it up? You know, he's just giving a dog a bone over here.
Arr, fuck Prometheus. So I tend to find directors that I like, and I'm interested in what they're doing. Del Toro, you know, like, he's just, there's something that he does. He does things.
When I see movies come out, I just, based off of what I see, I'm like, okay, I'll go watch that or I won't. It doesn't have anything to do with who's making it. I'll go and look and then be like, oh, I didn't know JJ was doing this or whatever. But to me, I don't pin myself to, I think this is the only thing that I'm going to like, or I like movies like this, so I'm only going to watch these types of movies.
I'm not like that.
I'm a ton of things.
I'm going to go watch the Star Trek movie.
Right.
But it makes me nervous because the other Justin Lin movies that I've seen, I don't like
but
the, that much.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't, because that's exactly what will happen to me if I do what you're doing, is I'll go into something going, fuck, I don't know if I'm going to like this, as opposed to just going, man, this looks really good. I'm excited to see it. You know what I mean?
I was about Star Wars.
I was too.
I was like, please be good, please be good, please be good.
Right.
I was because the last three were terrible. For me, it didn't have anything to do with who was making the movie as much as the last three we got were not very good. That's why I was
around
nervous.
Who was making the movie.
But he's made good stuff before, you know what I mean?
Way
so it's hit or, but it's hit or miss.
I mean, let's be honest, Star Indiana Wars. Jones and all of the Star Wars things kind of floppy.
I agree with you. I don't disagree with you. I agree with you.
Anyway, so
I hearken it to, like, it, just like comic books. If there's an artist that I really like, if there was going to be a new book that was going to be drawn by Bernie Wrightson, I don't fucking care what
right,
it's about.
Right.
I'm in because I love his style and his
right,
art.
Right. And I get that.
Sure.
I'm just saying that if I were to look at a book and I'd be like, oh, that looks interesting, I wouldn't look at it and go, oh, Rob Liefeld does that. I'm not going to fucking
see,
read that.
I would.
You know
I would.
What I mean? if it looked interesting
Bad
to
example.
Me, no, it's not. Because if it looked interesting to me, okay, I would read it. And then if I liked it, who gives a fuck who does it? I just like the book. What I see is that you're going into something going, fuck it, I'm not going to like that before you even do anything.
Oh, I like a Liefeld book though. I like X-Force. you know, because the writing in it is strong. Right. Like,
right.
Because you're, like, Liefeld, that's a bad example, because visually you know that it just puts you off. The writing could be the best in the world, but you're not going
to ever. But they have no
ever, you're not going to ever.
You're not going to make a connection.
Because exactly. Every panel right. You read, you're going to be like,
what the fuck is going on here?
So there's no, if it's just about the writing, then I'll go find a book.
Right.
But there's a two-pronged thing going on with comics, and you can have, like, it's got to be a subtle thing that you kind of don't like with witches, but you still have writing and a decent amount of art. But if all the art, if you just cannot fucking stand the right. art, then you're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, Scott Snyder's writing is so strong.
I think you would look at that book and say, nah, I'm not interested based off of seeing the book as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I would never give it a chance because right. I'm not interested in seeing anything that Rob Liefeld does, because I've never seen something that Rob Liefeld does that I want to fucking look at.
Yeah. Back to my trailers.
We're a bunch of curmudgeons. So,
so number four, I put Civil War. Captain America Civil War.
Yeah, that was good. That was really good.
It was a good trailer. I liked seeing Black Panther and all that stuff. I mean, it's
Tony and Bucky and Cap beating
each other. Oh, man, that was sad.
It looks tough.
Like, I'm gonna see it.
I was your friend, too.
I don't even need a trailer for Captain America Civil War. Like, I know I'm gonna
I don't
go
need
see
a trailer
it.
For any of those fucking movies.
Number three, I put Independence Day. Resurgence is what it's called, I think.
So.
It looks good.
I'm excited for it. Like, I love
it. He hasn't seen it. He's not a trailer guy.
Number two, this was awesome. The last two are kind of tied for number one, to be really honest with you. There's a new Toho Godzilla coming out, and the trailer for it is awesome. It's just people running around in the street, right? And it's, like, done handicam style, and there's people screaming and cars being crushed and whatever. And then it goes just the giant black Japanese letters, which, according to the YouTube translation, says Godzilla. And then the date
Godzilla.
Is coming out. And then it's just like a black screen, and you hear Godzilla's roar. That's you cool. never see Godzilla. You just see people running around in panic, and then you hear Godzilla, and then the trailer's over. I'm like, boner. Like, I got to uncross my legs right now.
Let it out.
Like,
it
all 3 inches. then the other trailer that just really did it for me is the Legend of Tarzan trailer.
I don't even think I saw that.
It looks like a mix between Conan and Planet of the Apes, and it makes me turgid. Like, it's got Samuel.
Can you get turgid at 3 inches?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's always turgid at 3 inches.
It has Samuel Jackson in it. It has Tarzan fighting dudes with pistols and apes, and there's monkeys, and just fucking looks so awesome. Nice. I love fucking movies like that. So, I mean, Planet of the Apes last year was, like, one of my top picks, right. because I love Planet of the Apes. The apes are that same, like, level where they, you know, they kind of look CG, but for the most part, they look pretty realistic. I don't know. I'm super stoked for it. I can't wait to see Legend of Tarzan. I was so excited I made my wife watch the trailer.
Nice.
She's like, that looks great.
For me, the second Star Wars trailer was my number one. Seeing Chewie and Han come in on the thing and say, we're home, you know, that felt
I
good.
I cried. I'll be honest.
It felt really good to see that. And I didn't cry, but it was my favorite moment of the year until I saw the movie, probably. But nice. It was really, really good. You got the little homages to the old, and then, you know, a lot of new stuff, which may or may not have ever ended up in the movie. But it was just, it felt comfortable. It felt really good. The other tied for two were Independence Day and Deadpool. Those are my, the new Deadpool fucking trailer.
It came out Christmas.
Yeah. So good. It looks so funny.
You look like the inside of other people's assholes.
That's going to be a quotable one. I have a suspicion.
They made me indestructible and totally unfuckable.
Right. Deadpool was excellent. I was really pumped to see that trailer. The Batman vs. Superman trailer, I'm still excited for, you know. But my, you know, besides Star Wars, which of course is going to be my most anticipated one, Jurassic World, man, fucking Chris Pratt riding on a motorcycle with velociraptors. It doesn't get any more exciting. I know Matt's over there making his faces, but I like dinosaurs and I like to see dinosaurs. And so I was really excited for that.
You know, it's interesting for me, pumped. For my trailers, like I have a hard time. Like, I wrote down Star Wars. I was like, oh, but I've already seen
You've seen it.
Right. So, like, this trailer's not as exciting to me now sure. because I've seen it and I can just, like, go to the movie theater and watch it now. Like,
right.
So, but yeah, Jurassic World, I remember seeing the trailer for that, like, when it came out year before last or whatever, and was like, yeah, I want to watch that. There's dinosaurs and other dinosaurs and dinosaurs that eat dinosaurs.
Yeah. I am not excited at all for the X-Men trailer, as I've already stated on this show. I just
see my favorite part of that whole trailer was at the end when Apocalypse is giving his monologue. Me too. No, I think him giving his monologue was cool. It felt
sound like
no.
Well, what does Apocalypse sound like?
Well, from the cartoon.
Okay. I don't. I don't.
It's crazy that
he has no depth to like.
Right.
Like,
so Poe is Apocalypse.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that until the other day.
Have you seen Ex Machina?
I don't know what you just said.
I've
heard the story.
So Poe
Dameron from Star Wars is the character is that guy is playing Apocalypse.
I did not know that either.
Yeah.
So since you brought up your least favorite trailer, my least favorite trailer thing was the whole let's make a car ad that ties into Mockingjay. There was like a commercial that was like, do you have the rugged spirit of the Mockingjay? Buy a Jeep Wrangler. I'm like, fucking kill yourself. Like, what are you trying to do?
I'm not
going to
lie. Star Wars did the same thing.
Yeah, I know. All of that shit.
It's like, literally, it's literally Spaceballs. It's literally Star Wars the toilet paper. Star Wars the flamethrower. It's literally that scene from Spaceballs when Yogurt is going through all the fucking merchandising.
I fucking love
that
they branded Yoda grapes. What part of Yoda would look like grapes? I'm just saying. They're Yoda balls.
Like, they probably look more like prunes.
Yoda, you know, Yoda that's nuts. That's a movie that I want to see. I want to see a movie about Yoda.
Like the
what happened before
Yoda.
He was on the Jedi console. You know, where's he come from? What's he all about?
Who the fuck is this guy?
Who the fuck is this little green Muppet?
This little green Muppet.
So I haven't... My general opinion of trailers is one of two ways. Either A... they show you everything that's a cool scene in the movie, and then you don't need to go fucking see the movie because it's a shit movie to begin with. And the things worth seeing you saw in the 3, 4, 5 minutes that they showed you. So
my exact problem with the Age of Apocalypse trailer.
Or they show you shit that never even shows up in the movie. It's every deleted scene, so you have no fucking clue
what's going on,
how to feel about that movie. So I just tend to avoid trailers. So that being said, I have seen the Civil War trailer, and I was already in before I ever saw the trailer. Right. So either way, it didn't affect my view of the movie. Suicide Squad, I've been hesitant about that since they announced it, and I still am, despite having seen the trailer. Batman vs. Superman... just as hesitant because I didn't like Superman or Man of Steel. So
I don't
I wasn't,
think many people liked Man of Steel.
I wasn't, you know, I'm not completely sold on that. That being said, having not seen trailers, there are a few movies that I am excited about. One is Doctor Strange. And I'm more excited for Doctor Strange than I am for the Civil War. Okay. That movie is going into that supernatural realm where hopefully we'll see some Darkstalkers, maybe we'll see some, you know,
like stuff from
David
the dark
Hellstrom.
Hole.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Maybe. I have hope for that.
I'll show you some stuff from my dark hole.
Dark hole the with a D. It's a book. It's a book. Know your comic books, asshole.
He's got a brown
side note, John was thinking the same thing, so you can go fuck yourself.
And I know what the Darkhold is, but it was still awesome.
So, and then there's a couple things that they're remaking this year that just seem fucking stupid. They're remaking Ben-Hur.
I don't even know what that is.
It's one of the, the first epic Hollywood, like it's the first...
like Roman epic.
Right.
Huge
giant sets
huge.
Giant casts, you know... so tons of extras, etc.
Like 300, kind of.
No. More along like Gladiator, but bigger. Not yeah,
more
but
like,
bigger.
Have you ever seen the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston?
Yeah.
It's like that.
But it's set the stage for epics. Like I think that and Spartacus were around the same time, and they set the stage
and
for
it. And Spartacus is way better, by the way.
It is. And they're remaking The Magnificent Seven. So.
Which needs no remake, because The Magnificent Seven, in and of itself, is a goddamn remake of like, when people ask me what my favorite movie is, I like almost always tell them it's Akira Kurosawa's Seven Samurai, which came out and was the plot mm-hmm. for The Magnificent Seven. Like, The Magnificent Seven is a fucking remake. Mm-hmm. Oh, God damn it. So I didn't know they were doing
we're
that.
We're in the age of remakes. Yeah.
So this is, so to me, this is why I find Hollywood much more disappointing than it ever is fulfilling. We get our Star, you know, we got our Star Wars moment. So we got something fulfilling. But by and large, they just shit on things
that I love.
Yeah.
And really, my opinion is the only one that matters. So
to you, yes, absolutely.
God, I feel like a dick, like, every time I talk today.
John, your opinion doesn't matter and you're off the show.
I know. We are never going to record here ever, except for once a fortnight.
I took it back. I even took it back in the last fucking break, you fucking dicks.
It wasn't on fucking record, so shut up.
I take it back. I take it all back.
I did think the Krampus trailer looked really good.
I actually did, too, actually.
I
did
still look haven't good. Seen it. I really want to see that movie.
Kevin Smith is making Marika's a Krampus movie. Sweater. No? I thought he was still doing it.
No. They just talked about it, but this came out.
Oh, I didn't hear it. I'm not caught up on that stuff either.
No, he's all focused on finishing
the True North saga.
Moose Jaws and Clerks all that shit.
I'm really excited to see a trailer that I have yet to see, which is Yoga Hosers, because it hasn't fucking come out yet. And I'm excited to see that trailer whenever it comes out.
Just hearing him talk about the Bratzies, like, at the...
And the picture is fucking amazing. Like, it looks cool.
I cannot wait to see that movie.
I'm sad I didn't get to go with you guys, but I was fucking pain.
In the middle of fucking finals.
I could have fucking
like,
drugged
you
up.
I can't. Fuck, I hate this shit. God damn it, I was so mad.
I could have drugged you up and then liquored you up.
I was risking driving from my house to the store with a fucking knee.
He was hobbling. I saw him.
Oh, I was bad. I still am.
He'll come again.
Yeah, that's right.
All over your face, neck, and
chest.
Hey!
Man.
So that's it.
I think, trails. Yeah, I mean, we're, yeah.
That's it.
We'll have to show, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with
we'll
that,
We'll have
honestly.
To show.
I
show
have no
balls?
Idea. I have no
penis?
Idea.
Dick and balls.
No, I've seen your balls already.
Have you?
No.
Oh, I was like, wow, that got real weird.
I don't remember that. One time at band camp.
Speaking of liquored up.
Oh, I've seen him liquored up. Oh, I've seen it. Carissa was talking, and I've seen that side of John.
It's not a bad side.
No, it's actually a really fun side if you're in with the fun. If you want to stop the fun, then it no longer becomes good. Fun.
No bueno.
An alcohol-fueled rage, John?
Yeah, he's not
more
rage,
happy.
Though. He's just happy.
Alcohol-fueled happy,
yeah.
John?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's an enabler when he gets drunk.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Have another beer. Come on. It's only 3
John,
o'clock in the morning.
That midget.
Fucking
do
it.
That.
I'll go get him. Put me down, mister. I don't know who you are, you giant fucking asshole. Put me down.
I'm thinking.
Nah, my friend wants to fuck you.
Oh, shit.
Wow, that turned sour real quick.
Oh, we had some good times, man. Some good times.
Yes, we have. We're talking about it like it's over because Gabe's kicking me out.
I know.
Come on.
It's our farewell to 2015 into John.
This is the last fart one you'll ever hear.
Ever. It's not even real.
Hey,
oh man!
Wow, we're so far away from 100 episodes for me to quit.
Yeah, this is episode 33.
Unless we kick you off, and then
oh
you
no,
can...
please. Then Juan can drive up here whenever the fuck he feels like.
It's once a month. Come on,
he said a quarter. Once a quarter.
No, I'm saying it is once a month right now. Right.
It's not once. It's not even that. It's like once every month and a half.
Yeah,
I had an idea. Stop. I do not want to kick you out.
I see. I like how you preface it by saying, we're not kicking you off the show.
Yeah, but
that.
I'm not racist, but... Oh, awesome. Shit. Side note. I don't remember. It's been a while since I've seen a Quentin Tarantino movie, and I forget how many times he loves to throw around the N-word.
Is it a lot in the new one?
Dude, fucking A, really? All kinds.
Django.
I was
that
like,
way
I should
too.
Probably go take my son upstairs. It was literally all the fucking time. Huh.
That's interesting, and there's not been a hubbub about it, because with Django, I mean, that's what everybody talked about.
The hubbub was about the police before coming into this movie, because Quentin Tarantino said something about all the drama that's going on with police and African Americans and shit like that. So the police were like, "Fuck you, we're gonna boycott your movie then." And he's like, "I'm not scared of you."
So, he's like, "I don't give a shit. You weren't gonna watch it anyways."
That's really the only, as far as I know, that's really the only controversy that's come out. But I don't know.
Most of the talk that I've heard about The Hateful Eight has a lot more to do with his process in making the movie in 70mm than anything else. Like,
and him almost quitting and not making it at all.
Yeah.
Because the script leaked.
He was very upset about that.
But, I mean, it's pretty much all directed at Sam Jackson. And, I mean, he takes it all in stride, and he's funny as fuck, and he's powerful in the movie. So, it doesn't take away from the movie. I just forget how much he loves that fucking word.
Sure. Oh. Do we do trailers from other people?
No. Trailers. So, Dom said Deadpool.
Okay.
And then Albie said Star Wars.
What did Mike say?
What did Marika say? Marika said...
Hey!
Marika says Crimson Peak.
What's up,
Peak
Randy?
For Best Trailer.
Crimson Peak. That's good. Yeah.
That is... Yeah. Man, I really want to see that still.
Mike said Star Wars.
What's up? Every time I see you, you're bringing a frame or something over here. Is that your frame guy?
It's my frame guy.
I got a new poster in frame.
Well, let's take a
break. Let's take a quick break. All right, we'll be back.
All right.
With old man.
Oh, use it. It's the 95.
Hi, I'm Sam Johnson. I'm the co-creator of The Almighties, and with me is the fellow co-creator.
Mike Gagneau, co-creator of The Almighties as well. And you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
And we're back!
So stupid.
I was getting in the bathroom just a second ago.
Dude, I want that fucking guy, dude. Know.
Right?
Shit.
My wife wouldn't let me buy one.
No.
It's a little minion shotgun gun, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm just going to keep squeezing it until somebody...
I was like, what are we doing?
All right, so... Final
old man
of our best of is our traditional best of 15 years ago.
So it was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
I had to look it up.
Me too.
Isn't it 20 years ago?
Would be 20 years
ago. Oh, yeah, 20 years ago. Sorry.
I think I could do the math. I could count the number.
Hey, we talked about this in the parking lot, that I can't keep track of how old I am without doing the math.
Oh, shit.
So.
Gabe is awesome. Getting all of the shit today.
He is.
That's such turned. A weird
I
feeling.
I don't know what to
do. 2015.
5 + 5 + 5 + 5 = 15.
Yes.
It's all right.
All right, so
I'm going to go first then.
Yeah,
okay.
Because I always go first.
Yeah, you always go first.
So I have two. First was the trade paperback Hellboy and the Wolves of St. August came out in 1995.
Five.
Yes, which is cool, and it's remarkable because it's the first. The story that was collected in that trade paperback first showed up in the back of Dark Horse Presents. And one of the editors at Dark Horse basically went to Mike and said, you need to come up with a story on your own. Because up until this point, like Hellboy Seed of Destruction was actually written by John Byrne and kind of co-written by Mike Mignola. And then he did the work and the cover for it. So The Wolves of St. August is the first true – it's the first true unique – Mike Mignola's story that he had ever done by himself with both the story and the artwork. And so it was collected.
Is that super collected then? Super collectible?
Well, so, I mean, you would get the Dark Horse Presents if you wanted the individual pieces of the story, and then the Wolves of St. August trade paperback, which is out of print now. They've collected it in, I think it's in... The Corpse in the Iron Shoes has got that story in it now. So it's still, you know, you can still pick it up and read it, but it's just kind of cool. It's something that's unique and that it came out in that time. And then the second big one, Preacher.
Preacher number one.
Preacher came out in 1995. And
I actually didn't pick that one because I was pretty sure you were going to pick that one.
I figured I had to grab that before somebody else did. But those are, I mean, Preacher is such a revolutionary comic book for back in the day that still holds up, you know, as part of that, you know, Vertigo awesomeness.
Rise of Vertigo.
Exactly. And now we're going to have a TV series about it. So it's kind of crazy.
So mine was pretty, mine was actually more about stuff ending than stuff starting.
Okay.
So final issue of Savage Sword of Conan came out in 1995. I wish I could remember what issue it is, but it's like in the 300s somewhere. So it had been coming out for a really long time. But the thing that was really impactful for me in 95 was the final Calvin and Hobbes strip. January 31st, 1995. It was the last Calvin and Hobbes, you know, or we going into the future. Like, I mean,
I don't think I really read any Calvin and Hobbes strips.
I grew up on Calvin and Hobbes. Like, I had all the books when they came out, you know. It was the only thing in the newspaper that I would read for a really long time. It was a really big deal, like, to the point where it was a really big deal to Mel too. She actually cut the strip out of the Washington Post because at the time she lived in D.C. and we actually have it hanging up on our wall. So it was a pretty big deal for me. Like, I know I was really, you know, kind of heartbroken when Calvin Hobbes finally went away. So a ton of great movies came out that year, too. Like 12 Monkeys came out and like... Seven came out, Seven. Like a like
Albie
a bunch.
Has Toy Story on here.
Yeah, Toy Story came out, like a
Hackers.
Hackers. Oh, Angelina Jolie.
Jagged Little Phil. I don't know what that
oh,
is.
Oh man, the Prophecy.
Jagged Little Phil. I don't know what that is, but he has that on his list too.
Mallrats
came out in '95. Like a ton of great,
I was too little.
Like a ton of great movies that I remember, like just really, really loving, came out that year.
GoldenEye, the first James Bond in since like '87 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, not a Bond fan. Like, I mean, I like it, but it's just not something that I go crazy over like a lot of people.
Heat, the first time De Niro and Pacino finally got in a movie together on screen, they shared a dialogue.
Dude, the first time Danny Trejo and Henry Rollins were in the same movie.
Danny Trejo is amazing.
Heat. Oh. Danny Trejo and Henry Rollins.
He's so
were they
awesome.
Really?
I am.
Yeah.
Huh.
I love That's that cool. movie.
That's a good one.
Albie also said Batman Forever glasses, and he sent us a picture of Batman Forever mugs that he has.
Oh, like
they're like glass
first I thought
mugs.
You meant glasses.
No, no.
Man, Batman Forever, please don't ever. Bring
eBay. Me. I don't know if that's the first year like it came out or
it
something,
must have been,
but he
yeah.
wrote eBay.
Wow.
He wrote Drew Barrymore and Alanis Morissette too. Maybe
wasn't,
he's got a man crush on them. I don't know.
That's what it is.
I spent that whole year fervently doing that.
Oh, Drew.
It's like rain.
Oh, man. Isn't it ironic?
Oh, man.
Just a little?
Don't you think?
That was lame.
You're lame.
You're lame.
You don't even know.
What else
you,
happened Matt? In 95?
So I did some video games because I was really, really into video games then. That was kind of the rise of the SNES. The next gen happened around that time, and so video games kind of stepped up a little bit. And for me, it was a toss-up between Yoshi's Island, Chrono Trigger, and Phantasmagoria. Phantasmagoria, I only played on a friend's computer because he had the setup to actually play, but it was a horror game. You were stuck in a time-warped house, and it was really graphic. There was some kind of macabre dismemberment scenes in it. It was a pretty cool game, but my favorite game at that time was Chrono Trigger, and that was a JRPG that had a time travel element to it. So you were in this world, and you would skip back and forth between, you know, like 2,500 years in the future or 500 years in the future, and then come back to 500 years in the past. And it was really, nothing had been done quite with time travel in an RPG like it at that time or since. So it kind of stands on its own. And then the other things in 95 that...
Chrono Trigger was a huge game for me. Like, that was pretty much the only kind of video game I played for a very long time. So it's like stuff like Chrono Trigger and like Legend of Gaia was amazing.
Yep,
and
yep.
So many good JRPGs back then.
Nice.
Now they're hard to find.
Yeah. They're not coming out quite as prolific. And the other thing I was really... this is when I started to...
Back in my day!
They don't make games like that anymore. They don't... Nobody has the patience level to sit and read, like, pages and pages of dialogue without, like, something happening. Like, I remember, you know, games like Dragon Warrior or Legends of Gaia or, like, you know, stuff like that. It wasn't until, like, Sega Genesis and, like, the Landstalker game and stuff like that where the three quarters and, like, the action RPG, like, really took over. Yeah. Before that, it was, like, really text-driven, dialogue-driven, like, Japanese-style role-playing games that took you weeks and weeks and weeks to play because you had to read, like, a book's worth of information to play them. Sorry. Back in my day.
You need to have
back in our day. Fuck you.
That's right. our day. This is our time.
Taking them back.
Fucking old.
Yes, thank you.
Old bastards.
Man, I picked up on that.
And I'm not even as old as them. But at 95, I was working my way into my teenage angst years. Mm. And there were three albums that came out that year that really kind of informed my teenage angst. And they were Offspring released Smash in 95. Old Dirty Bastard released Return of the 36 Chambers. And White Zombie released Astro Creep 2000.
Right.
Those fucking albums were cornerstones for me getting older. And especially Offspring and White Zombie. Like, those kind of informed and led me to like the punk and the metal and the stuff that I dig today.
Nice.
Old Dirty Bastard, just... Why do you chuckle every time I say his name?
I just cannot see you listening to that. That's all.
It's ODB? Yeah.
Oh, man. That's
dude,
all.
Yeah, you know me.
I'm surprised Straight Outta Compton wasn't on anybody's
mind. You know what? I have not seen it, it's but good. It looks so good. I have yet to see it,
I think
though.
You're the only one that's seen it.
Really? Hey, Randy.
He's Randy.
You want to say that in the microphone?
No.
No.
No, I hate people.
But I think if you were...
I snorted.
Oh man!
Punctuate it with a fart.
That's
every
right.
Time.
That's right. You have to.
If you were a kid in the '90s, there was some part of hip hop that you liked. Just seemed like you did. And for me, it was always the more kind of the grittier hip hop, Wu-Tang and Public Enemy were the stuff that I gravitated towards, and I still that informs the hip hop that I listen to today, whether it's J5 or Hieroglyphics or something.
When did Concrete Schoolyard come out? That was.
I think it was 96.
Okay.
I think it was 96 or 90s. Did you
say Justin Bieber?
Fuck? I was saying that for you.
What the fuck?
It was just a joke, bro.
He's gonna hit you.
I brought my shank with me. Don't
man.
I have to fucking shave you.
I was saying, you need
to
have
you don't know what I have on.
You
man.
Need to have a Matt True. Grumbling track that you can just throw in the.
And the other one of my favorite movies, 12 Monkeys, but another one that usually gets glossed over is The Usual Suspects.
Huh. Came out. I don't think that gets glossed over. That movie's really solid.
It's awesome.
The only thing, so here's the only thing that sucks about The Usual Suspects. My wife is like really, really good at like picking apart a movie before like the whole thing has like evolved into like a complete story. So she had never seen The Usual Suspects. We sit down. I was like, dude, I think you'll really like this movie. Let's watch it. She gets 5 minutes into it and points at Kevin Spacey and goes, he's Carlos Sosa, isn't he?
Oh, like,
screw you. Like, hate watching movies.
You just ruined it.
You ruined the cool ending. Ruin everything.
The kid's dead, too.
What? No, she did that.
Did she really?
During The Sixth Sense. Like, I remember she told me she watched
The
Sixth Sense.
She's the ultimate spoiler.
Turned to her ex-husband and was like, the kid is dead. And he's like, and it, like, ruined the movie for him. She's like, I don't want
to. The Titanic's going to sink.
What? I was talking to her. She's like, I don't want any spoilers for Star Wars. Like, I want to see it and just, like, see it on my own. I'm like, you're going to get 2 seconds into that movie and know exactly what's going to happen. And it's going to be obnoxious. And you're going to tell me. I'll be like, just watch the movie. Just enjoy the
movie. Keep it inside. Keep it yourself.
Shut the fuck up and watch it. You will enjoy this.
Oh, my God. Han and Chewie are going to make out.
How have you become so good at your Wookiee calls, John? Have you had a lot of practice lately?
I might have, just a little.
He does.
I think
he does well at gargling, so it just kind of came natural.
That's what you said. It's my mating call. That's how I get Chris in bed.
I can feel a disturbance in my pants.
Oh man.
Okay, I need to read Dom's. So he said. 1995, not all good memories. Brand new cars, totaled car. Emergency surgery, didn't work for a month. After surgery, no pay. Not the best. The best was getting through it. Totaled car was funny, though. Owned that car for 6 hours before I totaled it.
Wow. It's not really anything relevant to what we're talking about.
It's kind of a downer.
But it was funny.
That's sad, Don. I'm sorry. 95 was so bad for you.
Hopefully. I'm sure I watched a movie or something while I was laid up for a month with my emergency surgery.
I think he said later, hashtag bachelor party, hashtag don't drink and drive.
Hashtag fuck 95.
Yeah.
So, Marika said, I was 12 and obsessed with Weird Al and the X-Files.
Okay. Weird Al's cool. I like Weird Al. Cool.
Yeah. I love Weird Al.
And she's still obsessed with the X-Files, yeah, so that's okay.
So not much has changed. including her height. No.
She's still 12.
She's super short. It's not bad. Not much.
Don't make me out to be a fucking pedo.
No,
you're offending our littlest fan.
Short. I'm just saying she probably hasn't gotten taller than my 13-year-old. Taller than her.
Your 13-year-old's almost taller than
me. Yeah, my 13-year-old is really tall, but that's totally besides the point. I'm just saying, she probably hasn't gotten much taller since she was 12.
A ton of crow today.
It's kind
of
funny.
God, I hate this job.
Now you know how I feel when I want to quit sometimes, right?
I don't want to quit. I just
you want him to quit.
Now that we have the fart gun, I'm replaceable. No, you're useless. I'm completely worthless.
Look, I can do John's job.
That's all right. That's I can still do it better. That's true.
Steal the gun.
I can still do it better. And we're back!
That is true.
That's true.
Oh, man. Sorry you sounded gross there for a second, man. Sorry. Sorry you're with a woman that's the size of a 12-year-old.
Oh, my God. He just keeps digging.
She's going to kill you when she hears this.
It's going to be hilarious. She's going to yell at me
so
much.
She's
going to
kick you in the shins really hard.
Dude. That's not a joke, because that's what the fuck she does. And not only does she kick hard, she knows exactly where the fucking the sweet spot is.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, man.
She's a scientist, after all.
Yeah, she is. Oh, man. This has gotten real bad for me in like the last 5 minutes.
Let's cuddle, Gabe. I know. Let's cuddle.
Oh. It's okay. It's better. It's okay.
Oh, feel man. Better now.
You want to join in on this song? Come on, John. Oh. Don't act like you don't want a piece of this.
Oh, yeah.
Let's make Gabe feel better.
Manwich.
Why do you want me to sit down?
Because Juan needs a hug. He's all lonely over there.
I'm good. I'm good.
He's like, don't touch
Thank
me.
Thank you.
He's getting sweaty. He's getting sweaty in his clothes.
It's hot in here. It's hot in here.
Don't fight it. Just touch me.
What a year we've had, though, huh?
Yeah, man.
So here's something.
Colin Bunn, Tyler Crook.
Right.
Who else? I mean, it's been an insane year.
Alex Pacnedel,
Michael Shutterdale. What's her name?
Layla Del Duca.
I think he still that was last year. Wrong. Oh no, that was this year.
We've only been doing this for a year.
Well, so here's the thing that I thought about. Like, and I think about jobs this way a lot of the time. This is literally the first full year that we've done it.
Right.
Like in January we were doing it. In the end of December we're still doing it. So we've gone like a full year, right. Of doing this. It's awesome. This is a great show.
Tis.
I stopped calling it that stupid show I do.
Yeah.
It's true.
Alex, what's her name that I thought was a guy
DeCampi.
At first? Alex DeCampi.
Jesus.
And her dogs running away and her children setting the kitchen on fire.
It was so awesome.
That was pretty awesome.
The last interview sounded pretty good, even though he doesn't know what we went through to make sure that it sounded good.
Wait, what?
So we called this guy in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Oh, was this when you were Skyping me and like, can you hear me?
Yeah,
can you
hear me? So I broke down and I was like, just ask him the question and then I'll type it and then he'll answer from the typed question.
Oh.
So there was a weird like moment in between where like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever done. All I'm doing
this is how we always do interviews. What are you talking about?
But when we put it together,
it sounded good.
And by we, I mean Juan.
Right.
Oh, no.
It's been a good year.
It has been a
good
year. It was a very good year.
Yes.
With that said, this is...
Well, why do you always do it backwards? I don't understand.
Do what backwards? What'd I do wrong?
I don't know. I think he wants you to do the plugs before you sign off, technically.
Oh.
Because you said, with that being said, I'm Gabe, I'm Juan, I'm John.
And then we do plugs for some reason.
And then I do the... Oh, no!
Okay, good. It's
just a little bit.
My beats!
Yeah, it might be. They're expensive.
Did you find them finally?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, so yeah, you didn't leave them at the house.
No. They're right here.
I love that that's going to be in the show.
I didn't blame you.
Did you find your headphones?
Yeah, you did. You're like, I left them there. They're at the house in the basement. I was like, no, man, I looked everywhere.
You're kind of mental,
we'll see.
Though. So do you want to do our plugs?
We would love to hear what your favorite things in 2015 were. You please, can find us please. On Facebook at facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox.
So we got a lot of retweets and favorites to that text that I sent out, but nobody answered the question.
We had way more responses last year when we did
the interview. I think some of those came from Instagram, too, which I don't think we did this year.
Oh. Yeah, I forgot.
He's pointing at you.
Yeah, that is my fault.
And I was trying to make it special for Matt, Marieke, and Dom,
see,
too.
Nobody told me anything about
That's
that.
That's okay.
So.
You're good.
Sorry.
Speaking of Instagram, Twitter, and Periscope, you can find us at Outside Long Box. You can email us at...
I don't know why you keep mentioning Periscope. You don't even do it anymore.
Because my phone is broken. OutsideTheLongBox@gmail.com. Juan, do you want to do this part? Is that what you want to do?
No, I'm good.
God damn it. You can support us on Patreon, I guess, if you want to.
He's emo Kylo Ren now.
Sounds better on vinyl. Oh, no, man. Seriously, though, if you like what you hear, if you enjoy the show, if you want to be, like, you know, even more invested in the show and participate in the show even more heavily, like Matt, who's putting his stuff away and getting the hell out of here.
He's going to deal with an angry wife now.
I know. I'm sorry.
I got, like, 3 weeks before.
That's true. That's
I know. True. Enjoy the last 3 weeks of his life.
I'm not fucking 12.
If you want to replace Matt after he dies on Patreon, visit us at Patreon.
Apparently, we're taking resumes to replace John, too.
Yeah, so send us your resumes at hojcomics@gmail.com.
In case you haven't gotten it by the end of the show, Gabe wants John the fuck off the show.
You know why nobody ever supports us on Patreon? It's because we go to talk about Patreon, and then...
Well, you got it wrong for, like, the first 8 months that we were doing it.
That's totally beside the point. I haven't done that in a long time.
Juan's getting hot again.
It's getting hot. Patreon.com/TOTLB. There's lots of cool things. We'll send you some Juan sweat.
That doesn't even sound good to me.
I know.
Are you going to be the sweat collector?
Yeah.
Dom's getting a new t-shirt. Marika's getting a new t-shirt, it sounds like. So
it's going to be awesome.
Pretty cool, yeah. I'm thinking I'm pricing out patches today, hopefully.
Should be making a
eye
new...
Eye patches?
I should be making
that
a new...
That would be awesome. That would be so awesome.
Going to be making a new secret video here in the next week.
Oh, that's dumb. Not the video, the eye patches.
Eye patches. It's okay if it's dumb. Everything I've said is horrible today.
So I think you've gotten good reviews for the video, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got an awesome text message from Marieke that's like, don't post this on Facebook. That was Matt sitting at the computer, like, headbanging to some music. She's all, don't post this. It'll make him really mad. And I was like, I want to. No. She said, not. I got it. No, don't post it.
Now you're going to have to because...
Were you naked or something? I don't understand.
I was just having a moment to myself. I didn't know she was irritating me. It bothered me that she decided that she was going to share what was supposed, like, my own little moment.
Seriously? Is that what you're getting mad at now?
I'll share a little moment with you.
Oh.
Well.
Yeah. Problem solved.
You gotta go upstairs for that.
Man. You got the whole loft.
Or downstairs.
Hey-o.
Anyway, this has been 2015.
What a year.
What a year.
I might not be here next year, so.
Oh my God, apparently. You'll be here next year. With that being said, I'm Gabe.
What did you say?
I'm Gabe.
Oh, I'm Juan.
It was nice knowing you. I'm John.
This has been the best of 2015 with Thinking Outside the Long Box.
This episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box was brought to you by the letters B and S and the number 666, and our fans, Matt, Marieke, and Dom. Thanks, guys, and be sure to support us on Patreon at patreon.com/TOTLB.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albi is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.